talked about. You gotta put it in
perspective. A wonderful. And now on the way to the show.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Even think of this.
How does any genius figure out his inventions? I mean, how did Leonardo DiCaprio figure out about gravity? Because the bitch was sleeping underneath a tree and an apple hit him on his head.
Well, my thoughts are, I thank God. I give him all the glory and all of the praise.
What do you want? When do you want it? How do you want it?
And now,
just remember, every time you look up at the moon, I too will be looking at a moon. Not the same moon, obviously, that's impossible.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Thursday, the 29th of Rocktober.
Wow.
Well oiled machine. You got on it. On it. Hit the ground running.
That's right. That's
a
right.
Rocket ride. Hey, 1 hour from right now, we're going to give away tickets that we've been giving away all week long for the Los Angeles Clippers home opener. Sorry, supposed to call them LA Clippers for some reason. The LA Clippers home opener, which is going to be tonight, right? Tonight
right.
At Staples Center.
Yep.
They won. They beat Sacramento last night. They're coming home for their home opener. It's going to be tonight. If you want to be there, we're looking for you Clipper fans 60 minutes from right now. And the reason we're giving you this heads up so early is because we're asking you to sing a Clipper fan song. Now, you can use a melody of an existing song, but you write the words. You sing about the Clippers and how much you love them and about the team or whatever. Much in the tradition of how the King of Mexico does about every 3 or 4 years. He comes in with a song for us. So if you are inspired by the Clippers and you want to write and sing a song for us, we'll do that 1 hour from right now, and then the best one will go to the game tonight. Pretty sweet deal, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
6:30 in the morning, winning Clippers tickets.
Not
nice.
Bad.
How's everybody? How was everybody's night last night?
The worst.
I know why Kevin's night was so bad, but why was yours so bad, Allie?
Because Santa Ana winds kicked in around 12:45, knocking frames over in front of my windows, scaring the crap out of me.
Sure they weren't Halloween spooks outside your window?
Oh, I did see some outside
maybe
my window
that's what it
behind
was.
A tree, but no,
yeah.
It was horrible. And I didn't sleep, and it's windy, and now I've got allergies, and it just sucks.
Let me get an alternate opinion from Kevin. How windy is it?
I didn't notice any wind, but I don't live.
Are you kidding?
But I don't live where Allie lives.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't really notice any.
But it wasn't a tornado or anything.
No,
right?
I was dodging like palm fronds the whole drive here. Like things are tipped over. There are trees everywhere. Dogs
really?
And cats living. Come on.
Wow.
God. It's really windy
Chip,
out there.
Did you notice the wind?
No.
Not really. Okay.
Well, Orange County has that wall. So.
That Donald Trump built?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Right. Mm,
whatever. I mean,
I swear
you
windy.
Had that big wind thing, big wind problem.
Where?
And Kevin, it's probably the only time we'll mention it all day today, but tell the kids why you're sad.
Well, the Galaxy got knocked out of the playoffs.
Yeah.
So they're out completely?
Yes.
Oh.
So this past Sunday, they were in second place.
Okay.
Second.
Right.
But everybody's so close that all depending on what happened Sunday, fell to fifth, so had to play a one-game playoff to get in Seattle.
Oh, no. Mm-hmm.
And just gifted the Sounders 3 goals, just 3 giant mistakes. Here you go. Please move on. So it was 3-2. They got knocked out. So
well, if it makes you feel any better, the Sounders are not very good either.
It doesn't.
Will not go very good.
See, that doesn't.
That's worse, actually.
Yes, that doesn't. Yeah, that's yeah. My first thought was, well, at least, no, they won't. Like, if you're going to lose, you want to lose to the winner.
Yeah.
To a
right?
Good team.
But they're not going to even get out of the next round, probably.
No,
so.
They're not. They've got a lot of holes.
So that sucks.
Sure. Well, speaking of sports, I got a story to get us started before we get into today's all-new Kevin and Bean show that I thought was interesting. As usual, there are not nearly enough details, and I read four different articles on this controversy that is going on, and I still have many unanswered questions. What's going on with journalism today, by the way? Why
right.
aren't the people who – I'm serious. This is a serious question. Why aren't the young men and women who sit down to write these stories thinking, what else would the reader want to know? And kind of try to answer some of those questions.
Nah.
Utah State University, the Aggies who play there, have a symbol, as a lot of teams do. They have a symbol that they use to represent their team, that they make with their hands. Now, this one, Allie, if you would demonstrate this for the room, please. I want you to take your forefingers and your thumbs and put them up to make a diamond. Both hands, please.
Oh.
Both hands.
Okay.
Make a diamond like that, okay? Now, take your little fingers and extend them from your hands, too.
What are
kinda
my
like the,
little fingers?
Like
my
the,
pinky?
The,
what you're
being
one
yeah.
of my little fingers.
I don't, who says
your pinkies?
Little, really?
Well, they're the smallest on your hand.
Kind of like the hook'em horns do. All right, okay. So now you've got the diamond in the middle, and then you've got the little horns on the side. Now, that represents the Utah State University Aggies, right? That's their symbol that they hold up.
Okay.
Okay.
And, unless you're deaf... And then you read American Sign Language, and now you're looking at a crowd full of people holding up the vagina symbol.
Oh, like when Van Halen does it.
Yes, exactly. All right, you can put your hands down now.
Okay.
Mike.
So they just changed their name to the Vaginas? That's awesome.
Nope, they're still the Aggies.
Oh.
The one question I have is, how long has this symbol been in use? Has it been decades? Did it start this year? I don't know. It does say in this article from CBS that the hand signal did not raise any red flags until one student, a graduate student at Utah State University's Deaf Education Program, attended a game last year and noticed the gesture. His name is Matt Sarar, and he has made it his campaign to get them to change the symbol that the fans
Matt.
Throw up in the stadium. Speaking for myself and others in the deaf community, I felt disgusted. I felt it wasn't right. He says they've continued to use it, and it leaves me with a sick feeling inside.
Ew, vagina's gross.
It's interesting. He doesn't. No one asks him why he thinks it's gross or disgusting. Because look, he's a smart guy. He's a graduate from college. He understands that there are lots of words in the English language that have two meanings. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You can say a lot of people wouldn't say the word bitch, but if they're talking about a female dog, that's what a female dog is. A lot of words have two meanings, right? So he's complaining, and he's got a Facebook page up, and he's got people who are going around to people at the game and suggesting an alternate symbol that they should use at the game, and it's become a huge controversy at Utah State. So I guess my question for you guys is he right?
No.
If it says vagina, should the school just say, well, understandably, that's not the symbol we want to be throwing up, maybe we should change it, or should they just say, suck it, Deffy?
Well, I don't know that.
Yeah, I think
I'm not sure you want to put it suck it, Duffy.
Yeah.
Because that seems like that's a little harsh.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
But if they've been using it for a long time.
How about if they haven't? How about if they've been using it a year?
Yeah, I don't know. I can't stand political correctness. They're not. Mm-hmm. They're clearly not talking about vagina.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So why would you assume that they are?
That's how I feel,
That's
too.
Silly.
But,
right.
But they are, I'm sure, going to try to be sensitive to this group that now, they're on the radar of the group that now is going to probably start boycotting the school or not sending people. Who knows where it's going to go from here. But anyway, all I know is I got to see Allie McKay make a vagina symbol this morning, so
yeah.
I feel pretty good about my participation so far.
Okay. I'd like to go back and just say you read four articles on that topic.
Yeah,
well,
I
was looking for some context.
Okay.
I don't just come in here willy-nilly and just start reading things for the first time. I like to know what I'm talking about.
Bean's gotta know!
No!
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
If I were sitting at home and watching this, I'd be inclined to turn it off.
You'd be right. Dr. Drew's on the program today. Like
yeah.
we do on Thursdays. We also check in with Jim Rome about sports. We have Spectre tickets for you. Like Bean mentioned, we have Clippers tickets for you in the 6 o'clock hour. We have a Donald Trump date. He sure is making a lot of news, isn't he?
Well, I mean, when you're front runner for president, people care about what you say.
He sure says some funny stuff, doesn't he?
I didn't see the whole debate because of the World Series, but did he say last night that he sometimes carries a gun?
Yeah, he like he says he has a concealed weapon permit, but he likes to be spontaneous and keep people on unpredictable, keep people on their toes with when he has it and when he doesn't. It was so bizarre.
I don't want Donald Trump carrying
that's
a gun.
That's the best thing I've ever heard.
No.
Wow.
Really weird.
And also our old friend Greg Grinberg in studio.
He's in the Star Wars movie.
He's in the Star Wars movie, which he will
be
able to tell us
everything.
Exactly how much about. Zero. He's not going to be able to tell us anything about the Star Wars movie. It's also in Heroes Reborn. Talk about kamikaze, you don't care. Okay. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53.
Our friend Ralph Grabert is here for the Showbiz Beat. Ralph, before you get into it, how about a little advice? Because you're the guy who comes up with, you and Omar together have a lab where you come up with great little songs
we
that we play on the show.
We were working in the lab.
What's your advice for Clippers fans who are just now hearing that in about 40 minutes they're going to get a chance to sing a fan song to win their way into tonight's home opener at Staples Center?
Oh, great question. All right, here are my tips for parody songwriting.
Okay.
Try to find as simple and distinct a melody as you can. Don't get too complex. Find something with a simple, clean, clear melody that has distinct rhythms or beats to it. That way you'll be able to match the words with the downbeats of the song and sound most similar. Rhyming dictionaries, useful.
Okay.
So I say, I think there's, it's rhymes.com or rhyming.com on your internet you can go to. And just keep it simple, stupid. Kiss, as they always say, right? K-I-S-S.
All right. Yep. That's great advice.
There you go.
So at 6:30, we'll open up the phones. We'll be looking for you, the L.A. Clippers fan, to sing your Clipper fan song. The best one wins tickets for tonight and is eligible for that grand prize drawing for that tremendous upgraded Staples Center, too. So that's those are some good tips. About you got about 35 minutes from right now to get your song together. Ralph is here now. Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat. It's a Thursday morning. What's going on?
Well, told you yesterday that Halle Berry and Olivier Martinez were headed for divorce court. Now, insiders are saying it was his fiery temper that was to blame. Well, when you have a hot-blooded Latin lover, you have to deal with the fiery temper. Why aren't I pronouncing my R's?
I don't know.
According to sources close to the couple, which always makes me laugh when they attribute these facts to unnamed friends, Olivier Martinez was easily intimidated by her ability to get work, and while he struggled for roles, he was emasculated by her beauty and her power. Once again, no R. And quite possessive in a caveman kind of way, quote unquote.
Where's the outrage there?
Where is the outrage there? Here's my thing about that. That may all well be true, but if you're dating Olivier Martinez before you agree to marry that person, aren't all those things still present in that person?
Yes.
It always strikes me as odd when someone says, they became a completely different person after I married them. I had no idea this was coming down the pike. Well, that's just on you. I think if you're going to vet anyone in your life, other than perhaps a potential nanny or babysitter, it should be the person you're going to marry. You should take a long, hard look at that person, flaws and all, and say, is this the life I want to live or not? So Olivier Martinez's temper may be to blame, but Halle Berry has to say, this is on me to a certain extent.
I agree with you, Ralph. And I'd also like to say, and I know it's tough to put yourself in another man's shoes, but I put me in the column of I would love to have a successful, wealthy woman to work and take care of me.
Because you're deeply, deeply lazy.
Yes, exactly. Right. Yes, I would have not contributing to the relationship financially. None at all. I would be fine with that.
This is also, though, the age-old problem with two performers entering into a relationship. Because then it's a battle about, it becomes about egos and self-worth, and it's not just about the money, it's also about the prestige that comes along and the fame and who's higher in the box office, who's being cast, who's not being cast. It's hard enough and it's crippling and debilitating to a performer when they can't get a gig doing what they want to do, but when the person closest to you every day that you're living in the same house with is reminding you of how you're struggling and failing while they're succeeding.
Plus, he's ignored everywhere they go, right? Whether it's to the Academy Awards or to dinner, everybody's looking at Halle Berry.
It's a breeding ground for resentment right there, that relationship. So, not working out, those two.
In a completely unrelated story, Russell Brand said in an interview this week that he really, really didn't like being married to Katy Perry. He's still talking about that. He talked to the UK's Daily Mail, and he says, apparently in a new documentary, that he was, when he was married to Katy, living a life I detest. That Katy Perry was a vapid and vacuous celebrity.
Whoa.
And calls fame and power pure BS. All right, at the risk of repeating myself. If you're going to marry Katy Perry, don't you recognize going into that situation that she may be not the sharpest knife in the drawer and that maybe her life is filled with paparazzi and pop music concerts? And
you pretty much can see that.
That's not the life you want to live. Why do you marry Katy Perry?
And why are you still talking about it? Let it go.
And she was Katy Perry.
I think it's because of the documentary.
Before they got married.
Yeah, pretty sure.
So it wasn't like a surprise. It wasn't like they married this sweet, wholesome girl who worked at a dairy farm. And then suddenly she exploded on the national scene as a pop star. It wasn't out of his control. She was every bit Katy Perry before he married her. And now all of a sudden she's a vacuous celebrity and he detested the life they were forced to live.
I have to guess, Ralph, that both of these young men, Russell and Olivia, were blinded by boobs.
Mmm, the old blinded by boobs.
You got to remember, figure that into the equation.
Right?
You put up with a lot for those boobs.
Here's the thing about that. I get that, but also, there's a lot of boobs in the world. Right, just saying.
That's the counterpoint.
That's the counterpoint. Enjoy the boobs. Welcome the boobs. Embrace the boobs.
Mm-hmm. Boobies. I like boobies.
You don't have to marry the boobs.
Please stop saying boobs, you guys. It's a lot.
What if I do this?
Nope. Nope.
What if you give the Aggie sign?
I don't need that from you.
How was it again? What's the sign again? What was it?
I think you need the pinkies are
put
out.
Put the pinkies out, too.
Yeah, like that. Yeah.
There you go.
How's that a vagina with the pinkies out?
Right? It's like a hook'em vagina.
A horse vagina. It's Vagina Dentata. My favorite Police album, by the way. I got this great story about Harry Potter, but I don't have time for it. So just stick around. Stick around for an hour, and in about an hour, we'll get to the Harry Potter story. You'll be fascinated. I know I was. Today's celebrity birthdays. Tuvalu! Oh, Tuvalu! A.K.A. Tove Lo. She's 28 years old today. I dig her. Remember she came into the show?
Yeah, she's great.
I was a little like, that song, it's, you know, it's about banging guys in the park and doing a lot of drugs stuff. It seems a little pandering to me. It wasn't really sold. Then she came in and performed it live. I was like, wow, what a talent she is.
Mm-hmm.
I was blown away. She's 28 years old today. Ben Foster, 35. Gabrielle Union. That's a good deal right
that's
there.
Good deal.
Talk about blinded by the boobs. Right, Allie? Who's with me?
I love her show.
She's 43 years old.
Giant size cans.
Nope.
And by show, you mean boobs, right?
No.
Winona Ryder's 44. Dan Castellaneta. You know him best as many of the voices on The Simpsons for many, many years. 58 years old today. And actor Richard Dreyfuss, one of our best, 68 years old today. A lot of people would die to get a chance to have a chat with Richard Dreyfuss because he is one of our great American actors. Beer Mug was lucky enough to have that experience. I remembered it if it was yesterday.
Now, Richard, before we continue with Coma, I just want to just go off on a little side tangent here. My 7th grade music teacher, speaking of class of 66, was so gracious that she took us to see Mr. Holland's Opus. And that, honestly, I'm not blowing smoke here, but that changed my outlook on music at such a young age in 7th grade. So I just want to say kudos for that movie. That was awesome. And the other day, I know I'm reaching way back.
Do we know
here,
he's there?
Not too far, but I saw Stakeout on Cinemax. And you are funny. You are a funny, funny man.
I'm sorry, there's no Mr. Dreyfuss in that clip, but he was beginning.
Was he there?
Why?
Did anyone check the tape to know if he was actually there?
In a million years, would you pull out a story from your 7th grade class trip if you were talking to one of the great actors of the cinema?
Well, 1 hour from right now, we'll see where the interview goes after that. Because there's a lot more.
In part two.
Yes.
Richard Dreyfuss, known as the Dreyfuss Affair. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right, we gave you the heads up almost an hour ago. We're looking for L.A. Clippers fans right now that want to be there tonight at Staples Center for the home opener. The team's already 1-0. How'd the Lakers do last night, by the way, Kevin?
Not as well.
It's going to be a long season, right?
Between you and Dave, long season.
So we're looking for Clippers fans. If you want to be there tonight, we asked you to put together a Clippers song. You sing a song about the Clippers. It can be based on anything, and we'll take your calls coming up next at 1-800-520-1067. Now is the time to call and win your way in. Good luck.
Speaking of sports, we're big football fans, NFL fans, and poor Chip with the Dolphins. Poor.
Well, she's had a long, life Chip. Rooting for the Dolphins, hasn't she?
Mm-hmm. But they got a new coach.
They have a new coach, and things are turning around. They've won two in a row. Let me tell you what you missed before you came in this morning.
Please.
Chip and Allie are playing tonight. They got Patriots versus Dolphins tonight, Thursday Night Football, all right? So here's Chip's greatest dream is, I hope the Dolphins are able to make it close. And I'm like... Chip, if you're going to dream,
really?
Why not go ahead and let him win?
You're fine with losing just by not too much?
I've been a Dolphins fan for 20 years, and that's the best you can hope for.
But you're not working Dan Telica into the
next
year. That's
true. Dan Telica is the best.
So what's the deal with this guy? So you fired your coach who led you to the big 1-3, Coach Philbin, Joe Philbin, he's out. And tell me about Dan Telica, Chip.
Dan Telica was the tight ends coach.
Okay.
And in the last 2 weeks, the Dolphins have completely turned around, just destroying other teams. Of course, they were, like, awful teams.
Right.
But
right.
Just sticking their head in the mud, just destroying. It's been awesome. Like, but practices, they just go at each other and...
And Dan Campbell has become a media sensation in South Florida because he's a little bit of a bro.
Just a little bit.
He's a lot of a bro.
I think we've got some locker room tape of Coach Campbell.
To watch the way you guys played and practiced all week, it's inspiring, okay? It makes somebody like me want to bleed for you, okay? I would do anything for you guys. That stuff, it's invaluable, man, the way that you guys have come together. Don't forget... why we were able to do what we did today. All week, guys, you were after each other's throats. And don't forget this. Where is Dowling at?
Right.
And Hazel.
Right.
Okay. Who?
Chris McCain.
Juwan. Juwan, did you have a look?
Yeah.
It was anywhere near what Chris McCain gave you? No.
He's
and
very
you bought Chris McCain.
Yes, he is.
Very
he would bleed for you, bro.
That's right, bro. All right, let's talk to Coach Dan Campbell of the Miami Dolphins on the phone with us right now. Hey, Coach.
Hey, you know, it's easy to laugh, okay? It's easy to make jokes, all right?
Right.
Because you're not out there, man. You're not out there with a bro putting another bro's life on the line out there
right.
in the fight. So, yeah, I would bleed for you. Laugh up all you want. But these are my brothers, and we're out there, and we're fighting, and we're winning, and they weren't winning before, we're winning now. Let me tell you something. The giant is awake, okay?
All right.
The sleeping giant's awake, man. And that's what makes a difference.
Oh!
Now, you've won two games in a row. Do you think you can continue it against...
Of course we can continue it. All it takes is hard work and a man putting his life on his line for his fellow man on this team.
Right.
These guys are working their butts off.
Mm-hmm.
It's inspiring what these guys do, okay?
Right.
They're out there. They're doing Oklahoma drills, one-on-one, mano-a-mano.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys are out there, and they're learning how to be tough and how to be responsible for each other's safety and each other's successes. And that's what matters. So there's nobody we can't beat, man, because it's inspiring what these guys are doing. Yeah!
All right, well, you steamrolled the Titans and Texans.
That's right.
Not great teams.
Hey, let me tell you something.
Okay.
You can only play the team that's in front of you, okay?
Sure.
Good teams beat the teams that they're given. That's all that matters. I don't care if it's the Texans. I don't care if it's the Eagles. Of course, it couldn't beat the Eagles, but I don't care if it's the Patriots. It doesn't matter. Whoever's put in front of us, we will treat it just like we treat every challenge, which is with courage and dedication and one bro being there for his other bro. Yeah!
I'm going to Las Vegas right now, putting everything I own on the Dolphins.
Good idea. Make some money on us. Everybody, our shoulders are wide. Come on, we'll carry you to the promised land. Yeah!
All right, this is going to be fun. L.A. Clippers tonight, home opener versus the Mavericks at Staples Center. We're giving tickets away right now with your original Clipper fan songs at 1-800-520-1067. Let's hear what Omar came up with for this.
Clippers fan songs. Clippers fan songs. Clippers fan songs is on. Basketball. Clippers fan songs. Clippers fan songs. Clippers fan songs is on. Basketball. Clippers fan songs.
All right.
Clippers fan songs.
Okay, good.
Clippers fan songs is on. Basketball.
Basketball.
I sort of have a boner.
Here's the way this works. We're going to go to you, the Kevin B. Lister, who's going to sing your original Clippers song. It can be based on any melody that you want. And if you are selected for today, you will win tickets to go to the game. And then we're going to do the grand prize drawing of everybody who has won this week for the incredible upgrade that we will tell you about when we get there. Who's our first contestant here, Kevin?
Let's start with Jerry in Corona. Hello, Jerry.
How you guys doing?
We are good. Thank you. All right. You have a song ready for us?
Yes, sir.
All right. Let's hear it.
All right. Clipper Nation, show me how you do it. CP, go ahead and alley-oop it. Championship, what we pursuing. New low, because you know how we do it. Clipper Nation, Clipper Nation.
Yes, we agree with you, Jerry. Please hold on. Technically, you have not yet been eliminated. Let's go to Mario, Los Angeles. He's up next. He's on line two. Hey, Mario.
Hi. I've been working on this song all night long. I haven't gotten any sleep.
Okay, good.
This is called Always Been a Fan.
All right.
Okay.
Here's Mario.
I'm the biggest Clippers fan you've ever seen. Standing 6 feet tall and a little under three. Trying to win these tickets all week long, but it seems as though my luck is gone. Regardless of whether I get it for free, I'll always be a fan, you can count on me. College student who's broke as a joke. When I go to buy eggs, I can't afford the yolk. Can't afford no ticks, no matter how much I try. Have to sell my kidneys and I'll probably die. Only seen the Clippers on TV. Never seen them in front of me. Regardless of whether you guys win or lose, you'll always be the team that I choose. Go Clippers. Go Clippers. Go Clippers.
Come on now.
Oh, Mario.
All right. All right. That was very nice. All right, Jerry, now you can hang up. All right, Mario, well done. Let's try Kevin in Mission Viejo. We have been trained to not expect much from anyone named Kevin, but let's see if there's going to be a surprise on the line here. Hello, you're on the air, sir.
Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Kevin and Bean. Thank you. Kevin's can do okay sometimes. Okay?
Well, let's see.
All right, well, prove that. What's your Clipper song all about?
It's about how much I really love the Clippers and how well they're doing this year. Expect to be.
Okay, I mean, they're undefeated. Let's face it. They've never lost.
Coming on.
All right,
here we go. I love the Clippers, yes, I really do, with Chris Paul and DeAndre throwing up the juice. Can we make the finals? I know we can. How about you? With our new additions, come on the Clippers, we love you. I love the Clippers, yes, I really do.
Wow, he's so
That's
Kevin.
All I got, guys.
Yeah,
zero
that's
for effort. Good. Zero
right, Kevin,
for style. Zero for star quality. And you know what? I'm being generous.
Oh, Simon.
Come on, Simon.
All right, Kevin's still in it. All right, let's try little 11-year-old Noah, who is a Clippers fan. He is from Corona, and he is on line four. He is up next.
Hey, Noah.
Hi. Hi, Kevin.
What's going on, buddy? How are you?
Good.
How'd you get to be a Clippers fan? Are your parents Clippers fans?
No.
Yeah, seriously. Don't be ridiculous.
No, I'm serious. Why are you a Clippers fan?
I saw Blake Griffin, how he won a dunk show.
Uh-huh. All right.
Team.
Yeah. All right. Well, he had a great game last night, too. What's what song are you going to sing for us?
It's about how we started off 1-0.
Okay.
Very topical.
Very timely.
Started off 1-0. All right.
We are the Los Angeles Clippers. Starting off 1-0. We are the Los Angeles Clippers, putting Darren Collison in the snow. We are the Los Angeles Clippers, and we are undefeated. There.
Okay, oh, well done, Noah. Very
nice.
Halsey-esque of you. Very good.
Yeah, some new Americana. I like that very much. Okay, thank you. You are still in the drawing for the game tonight. Wow, we got some really good ones here. You want to try John in Glendora? He's up next, line eight.
Yeah, we have a lot of good ones, so let's get more good ones. It's already an impossible decision. We're doing Clipper songs. John, you got one?
Yes, sir. I'm ready to go.
All right, let's hear it.
Now it's time for Clippers basketball. This will be our very best season. We have some crazy players like Josh Smith and Lance Stevenson. Just because we've gone down every year, this will be a very good year. Because Clips will find a way. Clip City will take you down. Doc will find a way. CP3 will lead the call. We want to play like Griffin. Go Knock over people and cars.
Right.
Warriors will beat the second team alley up to Dundry all night. Because Clips will find a way. Bomber said you better find a way.
Okay. All right. I think we got the gist of that. Patrick Stump doesn't have to worry about his job, but that was very creative, very clever, John. Thank you. Let's try David Northridge up next, line 6.
All right. Hi, David.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you. You have a
what
Clipper
do you think
song?
Of the competition so far? What do you think of the ones you've heard so far?
You know, to be honest, I'm pretty tone deaf, so I think they're all fantastic.
All right. Okay. All right.
Good. Good.
Let's add yours to the pile. What do you got for us, David?
Oh, yes. It'll definitely be to the collection. Here we go. Yeah, we ain't cutting no hair. Yeah, we're playing some ball. It may not be too fair, but that is really all. Yeah, don't go to the barber because we are the Clippers. We are the Clippers. And that is all.
That is all the deep. Come on, don't go to the barber.
Because Clippers.
Because
Clippers, guys.
Wow. Let's do one more. This is Dave on line 9. Let's see what he's got going on.
Hey, guys. What's up? I'm a really big Clipper fan, and I think my song could beat them all, but, you know, they were really good.
Dave, you work on the show. You can't win this.
But I got a really good song. Check it out.
The Clipper Nation fact. Yeah. The Laker fans don't know how to act. Yeah.
Come on.
I feel like.
Give it up. Woo!
When did you do that song, Dave? Like 10 years ago?
Maybe like 7.
Yeah. Yeah,
okay. Clipper Nation's back, yo.
Right, you can't win, though, so we're going to hang up on you.
Oh,
yeah, hang up and go do some work. All right, guys, we had, Jerry did mercifully hang up. We have Mario, who was up all night. He's the one who played guitar behind his own song. Then we had Kevin from Mission Viejo, who was very surprising, actually pretty good for Kevin. Then we had little 11-year-old Noah, who we all love, doing the Halsey song. We had John, who was doing Uma Thurman from Fall Out Boy, very clever song. And then the last person that we talked to was David from Northridge. One will win tickets for tonight. He goes into the drawing as well. Who do you guys like?
Well, for me, it's between Mario and Noah.
Yeah.
Right? Stayed up all night, 11-year-old. But 11-year-old doesn't have any Clippers fans in the family.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
And I feel like if you stayed up all night, that's dedication. He saw the tweet. He knew. Plus, mm-hmm. he played the guitar behind it.
Right.
Yeah. I think it's got to go to Mario. I think I'm with you guys, too. Mario, line 2. Let's congratulate him.
Mario, congratulations.
Man, I've been trying to win all week.
Well, you got tickets for tonight, and you're also in the grand prize, which we're going to do right now. So hold on. All right, Allie.
Okay. Here's the grand prize drawing.
Yep,
this is an upgrade of everyone who has won this week on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about giving you even better seats than you already have. VIP valet parking. You get to go to the Lexus Courtside Club, the Hyde Lounge. You get to participate in the halftime fan tunnel. That is going to be for whom?
The grand prize winner is Stephanie Diane.
Diane. Two first names, it's okay. Congratulations, you win the grand prize. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 6:52.
Ralph is here with the showbiz beat for a Thursday morning, but before he starts, let's open up the phone lines again at 1-800-520-1067 for Kevin and Bean's What's Good. By the way, Allie is making it sound like she survived the greatest storm in the history of the world.
I know, it was horrible.
Apparently, we're lucky to be alive today because of a little wind.
Listen,
right?
It woke me up out of a dead sleep at around 12:45.
Something woke you up? That is a disaster. Oh, my goodness.
Was very windy.
What if a car alarm had gone off? It'd be the end of the world.
Oh, no. This is a colossal disaster.
I bring that up to say
I had to take my sleep mask off. That's how long it was.
Serious wind story. If you could top Allie had to wake up because of the wind, maybe that's a topic that you want to call about, or you can call something to do with Halloween. You can call about the World Series last night.
Leaves littered the ground.
Questions about the Kevin and Bean Show, comments, what's going on in your life. Really, any topic is on the table. Just make it interesting.
I saw a piece of newspaper flying through the air.
520-1067. Kevin Beans, what's good? Coming up just after 7. Time for the showbiz beat. Now, what's going on?
She acts like she was one of those tornado chasers. and pieces of straw were driven into a barn wall like a sixpenny nail.
Sweet Jesus. Saw a cow flying through the air. Right?
Right. Who's with me?
Right.
Everyone, thank you. Good night. I promised you Harry Potter news, and here it is. The Harry Potter play is set to open in London on June the 7th, 2016. Okay. And the show has already put a huge spell on the box office.
Nope.
It says here in the story. the first block of performances for Harry Potter and the Cursed Child Parts 1 and 2 went on sale yesterday. And the demand was so great that a second block of tickets went on sale through January 8th, 2017. Also sold out. So as of 7 p.m. last night, UK time, 175,000 tickets were sold.
Jeez.
Wow. Which has never happened for a stage production in the London's West End.
Wow.
It's even more surprising because you have to buy tickets for both parts one and two.
Really?
You can't just go to one of the shows. And they will play on alternate nights. Or you can see both parts on a Wednesday, Saturday, or Sunday performance with one in the afternoon and then in the evening. Cheapest ticket? A little less than $200.
Cheapest?
Well, cheapest. Those are the cheap seats.
Okay.
So, Ralph, big numbers already.
Why do you suppose this is the direction that J.K. Rowling wanted to go with the story, was to do part eight in a play?
She said the nature of the story is such that it lends itself to a theatrical presentation as opposed to a film or a book.
And it's set many years in the future from when the movies ended, right?
Yes. Harry Potter in space! He's in a spaceship flying around. Spock and Bones are with him. I don't know. I don't think many details have been given about the storyline, but
hasn't stopped people from buying tickets.
Nope. Put that name on it, people are going to buy it. I'm pretty sure she didn't even write it. I think she gave them the storyline and the outline.
Seriously?
Yeah, wow. And then some dramatists stepped in and finished all the hard work for her. So. Cha-ching.
Hope it's a musical.
I'm at Hogwarts, Hogwarts. Look at my hat. It's picking me where to go.
Wow, you got to check it out.
Right.
Just a warning, fall Nielsen TV ratings, the sweeps begin today, running through November the 25th. So get ready for the local newscasters to start telling you that your sink can kill you and other such madness.
But, we'll won't give you those details till 11 o'clock tonight.
That's right. Can your sink kill you? We'll tell you how tonight. Tune in after grandfathered.
Ali, what was it like working in TV news during sweeps? Did they, like, insist on a lot of low-cut blouses and things like that and sensational stories? Did you have to, like, ride a llama or anything crazy just to get eyeballs?
Absolutely. Every single day it was something. And, of course, we would tease it, tease it, tease it, tease it, tease it. Then the end of the show, they'd be like, nope, sink's fine. Have a good day. All right. Bye-bye.
Can your sink kill you? Turns out, no. Thanks so
no.
much for tuning in, folks.
Yeah.
Have a good night. Stay tuned for Jimmy Fallon. Speaking of Jimmy freaking Fallon, what's going
what
on?
What now?
What's happening?
What do you mean?
Universal Studios Florida, which is kind of like ours up here in Hollywood. It's the entertainment capital of Los Angeles. I guess this is the entertainment capital of Florida. Down there, they've got the studio tour and the rides and, you know, Jaws and stuff and everything. They've just announced they are opening a Jimmy Fallon ride.
A Jimmy Fallon ride?
A ride.
What is
based
that
on The Tonight Show.
What does that mean?
It's called Race Through New York, starring Jimmy Fallon.
Nope.
Passengers will take a ride on a simulated journey through the Big Apple with Jimmy as your host. It's the last person I want hosting me in a trip through the Big Apple.
Wow.
Ew. He makes that character and he drops Jägermeister and then you have to lip sync with him. What the hell? It's a nightmare. It's a horror ride. Is Universal Studios have no properties in their vast library of films that they can base a ride on?
That is odd.
Other than Jimmy Fallon going through New York in a cab? Stop it, Universal.
Do they already have a Fast and the Furious ride?
I don't know if they have one down there in Universal Orlando.
Because it seems like that would be the Universal property that I would tie into.
Right? For corn's sake. And James Bond film Spectre is already open in the UK. Looks like people enjoy this franchise.
Ah.
It has pulled in $9.2 million on its first full day of release in England, along with another $6.4 million on the opening night previous to its first full day.
So that is a grand total of roughly $15.6 million in the first 24 hours of its release.
Is that good?
Those figures are bigger than Skyfall's numbers 3 years ago. Now, keep in mind, Skyfall earned $1.1 billion in global ticket sales. So far, the new film Spectre is on pace to best those numbers.
Wow.
So they're saying this could be the highest grossing James Bond film of all time.
We're giving away tickets here on the Kevin and Bean Show about a half hour.
Yes, we are. You son of a bitches.
This is the 24th James Bond movie.
All right. There you go. Tove Lo is 28 years old today as we look at celebrity birthdays. Ben Foster's 35.
I have more fun facts.
No, we're good. We're good. Thanks. We're all good. Gabrielle Union is 43. Bean doesn't even try to couch it as conversation anymore. He just now is just spouting random facts.
You were talking about
right.
this new uh-huh. Bond film in
right.
relation to the
yeah,
last
shut
one.
Shut up, dude.
Okay.
Daniel Craig is blonde.
What in God's holy name are you blathering about?
Winona Ryder is 44 years old today. Dan Castellaneta, legendary voice of many characters on The Simpsons, is 58. And legendary actor Richard Dreyfuss. Speaking of Universal Studios, of course, he was the star of Jaws and many other successful films for that company. Close Encounters, I think it was a Sony film, but Spielberg makes me think of Richard Dreyfuss, 68 years old today. I remember when Beer Mug talked to Richard Dreyfuss. We spoke about this in the last hour.
So good.
He had an in-depth interview, and he talked largely about a seventh-grade class trip he took. And about the fact that he had once seen Stakeout on cable. Those were his openers.
But we didn't even hear Richard Dreyfuss
no
at all.
No response from Dreyfuss so far. So let's continue with the interview, huh, and see what we've got.
I am here with the legend, Mr. Richard Dreyfuss. I had mentioned to one of my coworkers before I came here today that I was going to be interviewing the legendary Richard Dreyfuss about a miniseries called Coma. And she got really excited. She's like, oh, Coma. I saw a movie called Coma about... patients going into a hospital and for very minor things and all of a sudden them just going into comas. And she says, I wonder if it's the same thing. Now, it was a film, original film by Michael Crichton.
Yes. The film was by Michael and the novel was by Robin Cook.
Correct.
Part two.
Thank God.
They got it right.
What will Bugs have done? To confirm Richard Dreyfuss's details about a project that he has spent a year and a half of his life
Correct. You
on.
Win a point.
Is he Billy Eichner? Billy on the street? Does he win a dollar?
Correct.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show of his beat.
Thanks a lot for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Thursday morning. We're taking your calls right now at 1-800-520-1067. This is a feature that we call
What's Good?
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify. What are we missing and not talking about? Call up, so we could be down. 1-800-520-1067. What's good?
What's good?
Looks like a good batch of calls here today. Why don't we get started with Carrie? She's in Costa Mesa. She's on line three. She will see Allie's wind story from overnight and top her with her tornado story.
Oh.
Hey, Carrie, what's going on?
Hey, not much. So I moved from Orange County to Nashville, Tennessee, and there was a tornado forecasted, so I'm over there freaking out, thinking, okay, this is cool. I'm going to get to see a tornado. And my neighbor's like, you got to go get water. You got to get milk. You got to get bread for your kid. You know, we're going to lose power, and you don't know if you'll be able to drive. And so I go over there. Well, little did I know, the tornado had already touched down, and pieces of tree are flying in front of my car.
That sounds exactly what Allie was talking about.
I had to get milk.
Yes,
no.
It was like these big tree branches and everything going in front of my car. I'm like, oh, crap. And then I get to the Walmart. Of course, I am not banned for life. And I get there, and the manager comes running out. You got to get inside. Their tornado's already touched down. And we all sit in the middle of a big Walmart, and all I could think was, well, it knows right where to hit us.
Oh, yep. No.
That's right.
Yeah. Did it?
This was our point about Allie trying to turn it into a thing, is it was a little bit of wind and she woke up. It's not a natural disaster. You were in a tornado. You have a legitimate story. Allie does not. That's our point exactly, Carrie. Thank you for bringing that into sharp focus for us.
That's weird. I feel like all I said was it was super windy, woke me up, it sucked.
It was crazy, you said.
I don't.
You said a tree came through my window.
Palm fronds
going down the street.
Any of that? Oh yeah, yeah. There were palm fronds.
Yeah,
that's true.
How can you survive something like that? All right, let's try Johan. He or she is on line 7 in Torrance. Needs our opinion on something.
Hey, Johan.
That would be a he.
Hey, he.
Hi, Johan. Welcome to the show. What's going on? What's good?
Play on costumes. Play on words. And I was thinking about doing this year like a prisoner ex-con kind of outfit,
mm-hmm.
and then having one of those dummy hats on that say dummy on it, mm-hmm. so a con dumb.
That's going to take some explaining,
yeah.
I feel like.
Yeah, I'm a fan of the pun costumes, but they have to be on the nose, dude. You have to be able to see it and put it together without having to have explain it to everybody. I'm sorry.
We're not gonna allow it.
We do not allow it. Hey, Johan, hang on though, because we do have another super secret prize for our favorite caller of the What's Good segment here. So do not hang up. Okay, you're still in the running for that. All right, let's try Jennifer, please, in the beautiful town of Paris. Hi, Jennifer. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's good?
Morning. I just want to know, did you hear that Snoopy is getting his star on the Walk of Fame on the 2nd of November?
I did hear that.
That is such good news, right?
Yeah.
I am very excited by that. I'm glad that Ralph is not in the room because he would come up with a machine gun and mow us all down for this. I love Snoopy. How about you?
I mean, look how long he took for him to get Adam West his star. And Snoopy, a cartoon character, is getting his star. I mean, I like Snoopy, but that's crap.
Oh, so you're against it.
Yeah.
All right. We have a person who likes Snoopy that thinks it's dumb that he's getting a star on the Walk of Fame.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they're doing it for publicity for the movie. I mean, that's just, like I said, real people deserve it more. And I mean, they're going to put a guy in a costume and stick him out and he's going to wave. That's just
crap. Right. Wait, what do you mean a guy in a costume?
Guy in a costume. Don't say that.
What?
Snoopy is a dog. He's right? A beagle, and he's real.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for the call.
Tall beagle.
All right.
Hang on. You might win a thing.
We don't like your attitude.
Let's try Zeke. He's in Orange. He's on line 4, and he is all kinds of wrong.
Hey, Zeke.
Hey, party people. Hey, Allie McKay.
Hi, Zeke.
Sexy thing.
Oh, dear.
What's good?
I'd like to champion a new catchphrase for the K-Rock show, which is don't fire beer mugs.
So you're saying don't fire beer mugs.
Okay.
That's the opposite of conventional wisdom, though.
Yes, I know, but hearing about his life and how bad he is at everything he does there makes me feel so much better about my own life.
There is some entertainment value there. That's true.
Good point. He flipped the script right there.
Yeah.
I had a horrible year last year, but listening to the show and then listening to what goes on with him, it makes me think, you know, things aren't so bad with what's going on with me. Things could always be worse. I could be beer mug.
I didn't have that bad of a year after all. That's a service the beer mug provides.
That is actually, you know what? I didn't think there was any way I could agree with don't fire beer mug, but I think you're right. I think he's doing a public service by giving everybody something to compare their own lives to.
Absolutely. And for any listeners out there, when things are going really bad in your life, just think, wow, it could be worse. I could have beer mug's life.
That's true.
Exactly. All right. Excellent point. Thank you. Please hold on, Zeke. Let's do one more. Let's make it Timothy in Montebello. He's got a Halloween-related question for us. Line 8.
Hey, Timothy.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We are good.
What's good?
So we're in Montebello. When it lasts about 4 or 5 years, we turn our driveway into a 50-foot haunted maze.
Okay.
So when the kids come to your house to trick-or-treat, they have to go through a maze to get to the front door?
Yes, we have about 6 fog machines. A friend comes over with a chainsaw, takes the chain off, and runs around hitting the cement.
Okay.
We've got mannequins that we put scary costumes on. We got a clown that we hang up in one of the corners of the maze.
All right, sounds like you're really going for it. Okay.
We do. Last year we had a lady. She walked through the maze, and halfway through, she collapsed on the floor crying and hysterical and ran out.
Okay. I like
now, are you just calling to brag, or is there a question, or what's the point?
I actually want you guys, if you guys want to stop by, we're also having a party inside. It's an every year thing.
What kind of cocktails do you have?
Whatever you want to make, we can make something. We've got okay. vodka.
That's
we've
an unacceptable got, answer. That's a guy that doesn't know his cocktails.
You're very right. nice to think of us, to invite us. It sounds like it's awesome that you're doing this maze. What do the neighbors think? Do they love that you have this going on, or is it a big nuisance for them?
They actually ask. A lot of the kids will come down and ask. Everybody asks if we're going to do it every year.
Okay. Well, that's very Sweet. Cool. It's nice to see somebody getting so into the Halloween spirit.
You're doing good work. Allie will be there.
All right, you guys, listen. Super secret prize we want to give away. Which call do you like? We're almost out of time here. Who do you like? You got Zeke with Don't Fire Beer Mug. I think he made a lot of sense. Jennifer, who's dead wrong about being against Snoopy, getting her star in the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Johan with his Halloween costume. We had Timothy right there who was talking about the haunted house. And then we had our first caller who survived a tornado in Tennessee. Who do you like? I think Zeke made the most sense to me.
Yeah.
Zeke's got a
Zeke
don't
fire beer mug? I like Jennifer. No Snoopy star.
All right. Allie, you get to decide. Who do you like?
Well, you know I love Snoopy. So it's going to be Zeke.
It's going to be Zeke.
Sorry. Zeke.
You have won a pair of tickets to Tim Burton's Nightmare Before Christmas with Danny Elfman at the Hollywood Bowl this Sunday in the second row. How's that sound?
That is unbelievable, guys. That is so awesome. You know the last time I won something from you guys was tickets to Lost Highway.
Wow.
The David Lynch movie. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, here's the
That's
thing,
the last
Zeke.
Last time I won something from K-Rock.
You have to take Beer Mug.
That was over Absolutely. 20 years ago, that movie. That's crazy. All right, well, thank you for listening for so long. Hang on, we'll give you all the details. Have a great time on Sunday night, and thanks for calling in on What's Good. What's Good? Calling all James Bond fans right now, your boy is back in theaters on November 6th with a new film called Spectre. If you are a fan of the James Bond series, 007 from way back, give us a call, 1-800-520-1067. Got a game that you can play to win your way in. Call now, 1-800-520-1067, giving away some tickets for Spectre coming up. Kevin, you probably didn't watch any of the debate last night because it's too close to the news, and you don't watch the news because you're a kid.
Correct.
But Donald Trump, a little bit subdued last night, was not quite the crazy, blustery guy that we usually have seen, and didn't hog the mic all night like we have seen him do in previous Republican debates. But national polls still have him at the top, so that's why we thought we'd check in with our next president again with what we call the Trump date. He's a guy. Hey, Donald Trump, how are you? Welcome back to the Kevin Bean Show, my friend.
So it's Trump date because it almost sounds like update?
Yes. Yes, that is accurate.
That's great. You guys are doing a great job there, and I mean it. I know this. I know about great jobs because I always do a great job.
Right. You always do. Let's talk about a number of topics that have happened since your last appearance on the show, and let's start with your take on the debate last night. Can you believe that you're losing in Iowa to Dr. Carson, a guy who can barely stay awake while he's doing a debate?
I find it amazing that a guy who used to be a brain surgeon has some sort of brain damage. It's crazy to me. It's ironic, I think.
He doesn't have brain damage.
I don't think he has brain
damage. Have you heard him speak?
Yeah.
He's like, well, he's Dick Clark at New Year's.
He's pretty slow.
I don't know what the guy's saying, and I'm a smart guy. I'm a very smart guy.
Right.
Uh-huh. I don't understand what he's saying, and he doesn't speak up, and he mumbles, and I'm not even sure if he knows he's running for president. Let's face it. He's confused.
Well, I don't know about that, but he is beating you in some of the polls. Although last night, maybe you scored some points by talking about how sometimes you walk around packing heat.
Absolutely, I do. I have a license to carry a gun in New York.
Right.
It's very difficult to get, but I got it because I'm special. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I carry a gun. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. I like to keep people guessing as to whether I could kill them or not.
I feel like it might be the worst idea ever to give you a gun.
Why is that? Because I'm smart, and I create a lot of jobs.
Yes, because of that.
And because I can kill people.
There's that part. That's the part I think, maybe.
Which I think are all great things to have qualities to be a president. Because I could create jobs, and then, of course, I could declare a war and kill some people.
That's right. Mm-hmm. I think you're very much looking forward to getting into the Oval Office so that you can kill lots of people. I think that's your goal.
Well, some people need to die. Let's face it.
Okay.
Rosie O'Donnell, for example.
Well, I don't know that that's the job of the president is to take out Rosie O'Donnell.
That'll be my first day in office.
What are you going to do, deport her?
Drone strike.
Okay.
Drone strike on Rosie O'Donnell.
Let me run a couple of other things by you that have come up since the last time we talked to you, Mr. Trump. You were talking about how you think it'd be great for more women to wear burkas because it would take them a lot less time to get ready to go out at night.
Absolutely. Here's the thing.
All right.
If you're a woman, so much of your time, and I've seen this. I have many women in my life.
Right.
They have to do their hair. They have to do the makeup. It takes them hours and hours and hours before you can go to freaking dinner.
Right.
This way, you put a burqa on, boom, let's go, out the door.
But you understand that that's not the job of a burqa.
Of course it is.
Okay.
Let's face it, most of those women need to be covered up. It's the only way they get a man.
Wow.
If they were hot, they wouldn't cover their faces.
That's ridiculous. That's not how it works.
You don't wear a burqa based on how hot you are. I happen to be an expert on Muslim law, and that's the reason they wear the burqas.
I don't think that's true at all.
You also often talk about what a great businessman you are, correct?
I am, and I've created millions and millions and millions of jobs.
Okay. In a recent speech, you talked about how you came from nothing, except for the $1 million loan that your dad gave you to start out, but that you paid it back. And you kind of made it sound like you didn't think that was a significant leg up on most people, to have a man give you $1 million to get going.
Yeah, you called it a small loan.
Well, it is a small loan.
It's $1 million. People could live off of that.
$1 million. A little $1 million.
Do you have any
idea how much money my father had, what he could have given me?
But to the American people, it's so unrelatable.
Sit down. I didn't call on you. Go back to Lady Vision.
Here's what Ali's saying is most people won't make $1 million in their whole working life, and your dad gave it to you one day in a check to start a business. You don't realize how privileged that makes you?
I had to pay it back with interest.
Right. But you understand that that's a huge advantage over everyone else in America.
I don't think you understand math. $1 million
right.
is a one. That's one.
$1 million.
One. But millions are words. They're not numbers. The number is just one.
Okay.
So that is a very small amount.
Okay.
But I had to pay it back, and I did because I made a lot of money on my own without any help from anyone, if you don't count that $1 million.
The $1 million. Okay. All right. Well, listen, we're almost out of time. So you plan to win. You plan to be the greatest president this country has ever had. You're going to make America great again, right?
There is no way I don't win the presidency. I'm telling you right now, you can go to Vegas. You can bet on it. I will lend you $1 million, but you'll have to pay me back with interest.
How much interest, though?
A million percent interest.
Okay. We'll talk sports with our friend Jim Rome coming up at 8 and actor Greg Grunberg from Heroes Reborn, the new Star Wars, and so much more. Going to be joining us in the 8 o'clock hour as well. Hey, Sean Connery.
Good morning.
You don't sound excited to be here. We love having you around the
Kevin
Beach
Show. It's not enough that I'm here. Now I have to be excited to be here.
No, I'm just saying.
Well, la-di-da, happy days. Unicorns are flying out of my bumhole.
The great Sean Connery has been joining us this week to help give away tickets to the K-Rock screening of Spectre. It's going to be on November the 4th on the Sony Pictures backlot. The movie opens everywhere in theaters on November the 6th. This one's called Do You Know You're James Bond?
Do you know you're James Bond? How well 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 do you know them? You're James Bond.
How well do you know you're James Bond?
Okay, so we have callers on the line, and you're going to be asking what kinds of
questions. Is that all right with you, if that's what we do? Okay.
Yes, it's fine.
You're insufferable.
So what kinds of questions?
How has someone not murdered you during your entire life of being you?
I don't know.
You spend all your time just being you.
Yeah, but that happens a lot.
That
about,
must be
Sean.
So depressing.
Let's focus
no
on the
No chance of ever being anyone else but you.
The point is, let's give away some tickets to Spectre. What kinds of questions are you going to be asking?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe I'll ask people how well they know James Bond.
Oh, good.
Okay. This is about the actors who have played James Bond.
I will give
you a piece of trivia about one of the actors who have played James Bond, all of them pansies except for myself.
Okay.
And then you need to name which actor I'm referring to.
All right. Okay, so if you're a big 007 fan, it sounds like something you got a shot at. We'll give away tickets for our screening of Spectre, and we'll start with Andy in Glendora on line one. Hey, Andy.
Hi.
Hello, Andy.
Good morning.
Here's your trivia about an actor who played James Bond. Before becoming an actor, this Bond was a fire eater in a circus.
Cool.
Yes, he ate fire.
If you don't know, just take a guess.
All right, I am going to guess a George Lazenby.
Nope. Pierce Brosnan.
He was a fire eater in a circus?
Fire eater.
I never would have guessed that. Wow.
He started out busking, performing on the streets, eating fire, and then got hired by a circus.
How about that? Huh. All right, Andy, thank you for playing. Sorry you didn't win. Kevin,
not
who's our
bad
next
for
guest?
A pansy.
Let's go to Patrick in Fullerton. Hi, Patrick.
Hey, Kevin and Bean.
And Sean Connery.
Hello, Sean Connery.
Hello. Yes. This James Bond actor is currently a goodwill ambassador for the charity foundation UNICEF.
I don't know. Roger Moore?
That's correct. Roger Moore.
Was that just a stab in the dark?
Yep.
All right. Congratulations. You got the tickets.
He likes helping starving children.
Right.
Nothing wrong with
Seems
that.
Pretty
Sean,
good.
Right?
Lazy children who are starving.
They're not
Go
lazy.
Out and get a job and get some food.
They're
you
poor.
Lazy
they're
bastards.
Poor circus
they're poor because they're not working. Why don't they eat some fire if they're starving so much like Pierce Brosnan did?
All right. Let's go to Mike in Tustin. Hi, Mike.
Hi.
Mike, hello? This James Bond actor finished third in the Mr. Universe competition in 1953.
Sean Connery.
That's right.
That's correct.
Wow.
Good job, sir.
I didn't know
Thank
that either.
Thank you very much. I was huge. They made a huge mistake not making me Mr. Universe third place.
It is interesting that with all the trivia questions, the one that you picked about yourself is how you were Mr. Universe competitor.
It is interesting. You didn't run your 50-10. Let me tell you a trivia question about you,
all right.
You enormous pansy.
Let's go right. to Mark in Brentwood. Hi, Mark.
Hey, guys. Hey, John.
Hello. Before becoming James Bond, this actor had no prior acting experience and was voted England's top male model in the year of 1966.
I'm going to go with George Lazenby.
George Lazenby is correct.
Nicely
about
done.
That? How crazy is it, Sean, to think about the fact that they gave the 007 role to a guy who had never acted before?
He was hired from a TV commercial.
Well, no wonder you hate those guys.
Pansies.
All right.
Let's go. All right, I think that's three down. I think we got two more pair of passes for the K-Rock screening of Spectre.
Let's go to Hugo in Covina. Hi there, Hugo.
Oh, hi.
Hey, Hugo.
Hugo sounds surprised that he's on the phone with us right now.
This Bond actor is the oldest actor to ever played James Bond. He was 45 in his first Bond film and 58 in his last.
Timothy Dalton?
No, I'm sorry. Roger Moore. Old pansy.
Man.
Thanks Why for is playing. Everyone a pansy?
That's a good question, okay. Kevin. Why is everyone a pansy? I prefer if it wasn't the case.
All right.
But it is, sadly.
Let's go to Michael in Los Angeles. Hi there.
Hello.
Hey, Michael. This James Bond is also known for his acting roles in Flash Gordon, The Rocketeer, and Brenda Starr.
Who is...
It's not freaking Jeopardy.
I'm sorry. No, it is not Pierce Brosnan. Is it, Sean?
Timothy Dalton.
Timothy Dalton. Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks for playing.
All right, let's go to Daniel in Orange. Hi there.
Morning, party people.
Hey, Daniel. From 1980 until her death in 1991, this James Bond was married to an actress named Cassandra Harris, who was also a one-time Bond girl.
Roger Moore?
No, I'm sorry. Pierce Brosnan was married to her.
Mm. Oh, these are tough.
The only Bond ever Bond married tribute. To a Bond girl.
Hmm. All right. That. Let's go to Austin in Santa Ana. Hi there.
Hi, guys.
Austin, before acting, this James Bond had many different jobs, including a milkman, an artist model, and a coffin polisher. And that's not a euphemism.
Code, no? Okay.
I used to actually polish coffins.
You used to?
Well, he did, whoever he is.
Austin, that might be a hint for you. Which James Bond are we looking for?
I'm going to go Sean Connery.
That's excellent. Good for you.
How did you get that?
What are the chances?
Well done.
All right. Congratulations, everybody. Have a great time at Spectre. Again, the Sony Pictures backlot on the 4th. It opens everywhere on the 6th. I guess you know your James Bond.
How well do you know your James Bond? How well do you know your James Bond? How well do you know that?
James Bonds.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:52.
Catch up with our friend Jim Rome just after 8. Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday morning. Kevin and Bean Show, what's going on?
Maybe time to open up the Kevin and Bean phone lines to get Halloween costume disasters in the conversation. And maybe we can talk to Jean-Luc Bilodeau from Baby Daddy, you know, our favorite TV series, Baby Daddy, over there on Freeform. It's on Freeform.
What's that?
What's
that's
Baby
our,
Daddy?
That's our favorite.
It's our favorite series on Freeform.
Huh. I'm unfamiliar with
AKA ABC Family. Baby
okay.
Daddy. Come on, Baby Daddy. It's about that guy who has the baby.
Yeah, I don't know anything about that.
He was at a Halloween party last weekend, dressed as an alpaca.
Okay.
He was wearing a lot of alpaca. Here's the thing about alpaca. When mixed with alcohol and open flames in a dimly lit party.
Oh, no.
Alpaca's quite flammable. And it went up.
Oh, no. This is a colossal disaster.
It went up.
He lit on
that
fire.
That is terrible. It is terrible. And it was a serious accident. And he was transported by ambulance to a local hospital and had to undergo skin grafts.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
For the severe burns around his body. And he's expected to make a full recovery, but he was severely burned.
You need a better story to tell the rest of your life than... So I'm dressed as an alpaca.
Right?
Yeah.
And then there's a candle. And next thing I know, I was dressed as a flaming alpaca.
Did he say...
I'm hot!
He did. That's what he said. He quoted. By the way, there is a list of costume tips from CNN of costumes to stay away from this holiday season.
Okay, because of safety or
just because
political
of,
correctness?
Or? Political correctness, but just perhaps taste.
Okay.
You don't want to go in any costume that mocks mental health. In fact, British retailers have removed their mental patient and psycho ward costumes from the store shelves.
Halloween.
I think that maybe schizophrenia isn't necessarily hilarious.
Huh.
I think they have a point. You may want to stay away from deadly medical conditions, says CNN. Sexy Ebola, for example. Bad idea.
So the point, the new way of thinking in the 21st century is, hey, those are people. They're very sick. Show them some dignity.
Right.
Okay. I don't know if I can get on board with that, but all right.
I
can't go with sexy Ebola patient?
No, you can't go as anorexia either, by the way. The sexy skeleton anorexia costume. They frown on that.
Okay.
Stay away from any ethnic or racial stereotypes. If it's not your culture, don't go there, they suggest. Yeah, I'm looking at you, Kevin, with your Indian headdress on.
How dare you?
Stay away from Nazis, they suggest also.
That's a good tip.
I think so.
What about leprechauns?
Doesn't mention leprechauns.
All good.
Mm. Chip, you're good.
Sweet, good Chip.
And this probably goes without saying, but no blackface. Ever. Bean. No, Bean.
I was just trying to look like Kanye West.
Kevin, no blackface. Kevin. Flava Flav.
It's a pretty good Flava Flav.
Yeah.
Halloween.
I'm going to hand these out to Kevin and Bean before Halloween comes around.
Ralph,
nah.
What are you going to be at the Babylon this weekend? What's your costume?
Why do you think for a minute I would tell you?
Because we're not going to be there to see it.
Right.
So,
and so Monday we can talk all about it.
All right. Just excited.
You're not. There's one thing you're not excited about, and that's what Ralph dresses up as for Halloween.
I am, because
you're
Ralph's
not.
A creative guy, and I bet it's going to be a great costume, but I'm very curious to hear what it is.
Bean, of course, is referring to the Hollywood Babylon that I'm doing along with my buddy Kevin Smith this Friday night. Tomorrow night in Irvine, California, at the Irvine Improv. We're doing the late show there, and it's going to be a Hollywood Boobalon.
No!
Our Halloween-themed Hollywood Babylon, so come on out to the Improv tomorrow night. We're going to have a good time, 18 years of age or older, and we're encouraging you to wear costumes. I will be dressed. And if you come dressed, we'll be giving prizes out to our favorite costumes. So,
Kevin Smith going to be a hockey player?
No!
I think Kevin said he might come dressed as the director of Clerks.
Oh,
which I think would be a very clever costume for him.
You could probably pull that off.
I think so. I did not even know this, but it sounds good. New TV series going to be on the air, starring Jennifer Lopez. Did you know this? Jennifer Lopez and Ray Liotta in a new cop drama?
No, I didn't know that.
Shades of Blue, it's called. Story of a detective squad in Brooklyn, New York. Drea Di Matteo also stars in this. I had no idea that Jennifer Lopez was returning to television. It's going to be premiering January the 14th. It will be airing behind the blacklist, they say. But for its first couple episodes, it'll be replacing The Player on NBC. Apparently NBC giving up on The Player, which I can't understand because the guy would bet on crime. How could you not love that? More TV news. Fox has picked up John Stamos' series Grandfathered for a full season, ordering another 9 episodes of that show. People seem to like it. And remember Donald Trump. You guys were just talking to him. His Miss Universe pageant was dropped from NBC.
Right.
Because of, battles with Univision and other reasons. But Fox has picked it up. They have picked up the 64th annual Miss Universe pageant as well as the Miss USA pageant. They plan to run both on television. So Trump, back in business. Trump sold the pageants to the IMG talent agency, which has nothing to do with Trump. So now networks are feeling safe to air them again. So
he just had to remove himself from that?
He pretty much did. In order to save the franchise, he just had to take himself out. I can't believe anyone is still watching beauty pageants in this day.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm surprised by that, too.
Even though you have some of the prettiest women in the world on it, those shows are so deadly dull that it's almost impossible to get through.
That's bad television.
Bad television.
But it's Fox.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthday is Tove Lo's 28 years old today. Ben Foster's 35. Gabrielle Union, 43 years old today. Winona Ryder's 44. Dan Castellaneta, legendary voice actor behind many of your favorites on The Simpsons. He is 58. And all morning long, we've been talking about American icon, national treasure, Richard Dreyfuss, one of our finest movie actors. He's 68 years old today. And Beer Mug had a chance to sit down and interview Mr. Dreyfuss not too long ago. And we're just so impressed about how Beer Mug really gets in depth with the subject of his interviews. So far, Beer Mug has told Richard Dreyfuss about a seventh grade class trip he took, about how the fact that he saw Stakeout once on cable.
Right.
that Richard Dreyfuss was in. He quizzed Richard Dreyfuss about his role in the miniseries Coma based on the Robin Cook book, saying that he was right.
Correct.
When he said that Robin Cook had written the novel.
Mm-hmm.
And here's a little bit more of that in-depth interview.
Back to Coma. Did you watch the original film, and did you take anything away, or did you just kind of...
I saw the original film when it came out, but that's 30 years ago.
And so you just kind of went into this project, this four-hour miniseries, kind of with your own take, or...
Yeah.
And do you play the doctor?
I play the creator of the Institute.
Oh. Very excited.
Yep.
Not half as excited as I am.
Okay, that is part three of Beer Mug's exclusive interview.
Not half as excited as I am.
This was no boating accident.
He does good work.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6 minutes after 8 o'clock.
And that's the time every week where we talk to our friend Jim Rome, unless he can find anything else to do. If there's a meeting he can be pulled into, if there's anyone else he can be talking to instead, he'll do it. But every once in a while, he ends up on the air here at K-Rock. You can hear the Jim Rome Show from 9 till noon on AM 980 The Beast, including today. Hey, Jim. Welcome back, my friend. How are you?
Fellas, I got to be straight. I did everything I possibly could to schedule a meeting and get out of this today, but I couldn't do it. So here I am.
I don't blame you.
I tried.
Hey, this is that rare time of the year. There's about a week or 2 week period where all five major American sports are going on at the same time. I mean, there's no shortage of things for you to talk about on your radio show right now, are there?
This is as good as it gets. You get through the entire summer where there's nothing to talk about but boring baseball. But right now, we've got everything. The World Series, the NFL, the NBA kicked off. We've got some NHL. So, yes, this is the perfect time of year to talk sports, which is another reason why I showed up for you all today.
Well, let's start with the NBA since that's fresh on our mind. The season is underway. So the Lakers lost last night. The Clippers won last night. Are we going to be seeing that a lot this season, you think, Jim?
I was going to say the Lakers lost last night. The Clippers won last night. Get used to that and get used to it going the way it did. For instance, the Lakers had a 16-point second-half lead at home. That's how you want to start your season, with a nice win, except they went into the tank and they did not finish. So if they're going to have any shot this season, those are the types of games they have to win and the type of team they have to beat and the type of shot they have to make at the end of the game, which incidentally was not taken by Kobe Bryant.
Oh, interesting.
See how I led you into that? Now you're supposed to follow and say, right, what happened, Jim?
Right.
Why didn't Kobe Bryant get that shot?
What happened, Jim?
Why didn't he get that shot?
You journos are so good. You guys are so good. Because Byron Scott, the head coach, called Lou Williams' number at the end of the game and not Kobe's. And since Williams did not make that shot, I'm sure Kobe and Kobe's peeps are bent. But the fact is, it was the right call. Kobe had missed all five of his shots in the fourth. Williams had hit a big three. That's why they brought this guy in. He had a good look. It just did not go down.
How about that? I was surprised to learn this stat yesterday. Maybe this is common knowledge among basketball fans, but I had not heard it yet, that when Kobe Bryant kicked off the NBA season last night, he became, in NBA history, the longest tenured player in one team. 20 years with the Los Angeles Lakers. No one has ever been with one team longer than that. That was a real surprise to me.
That is a common stat among basketball fans that you did not know. You know, to put that in perspective, yeah, right? And Kobe made the point that it's kind of a trip because he has spent half of his entire life in that uniform. And for even more perspective, 20 years, this guy's been in that uniform longer than D'Angelo Russell has been on the planet, the rookie they just drafted. So Kobe's been around a long time in the same spot.
All right, Jim, you mentioned the World Series. I know you're not the biggest baseball fan in the world, but how much fun has it been to follow the Kansas City Royals in this postseason, especially the way they have been hitting against the Mets? I mean, they are such a fun team to watch, I think.
Hold on. Now I am the biggest baseball fan in the world. What do you mean by that? No, I'm not.
No.
You know what? Game one, if you saw game one, even if you don't care about baseball and you just tune in once a year, I mean, that had everything. That was a weird, awesome game. But for last night, if you're a Royals fan or you're somebody who hates all things New York, unless you're one of those things, game two was a big buzzkill. Where was the inside the park bomb to start the game? Where was that awesome power outage in the middle of the game that nearly broke Twitter? Where was that game time bomb in the ninth? Where were the 14 innings of weird, man? There was none of that last night. Last night's game was a big drag, unless you love KC and hate New York. So hopefully they bounce back and give us something more in game three. Game two is just what KC does. They swing, they never miss, they nickel dime you, and they win.
Yeah, it's incredible how difficult that team is to strike out and how productive they are with runners on base, especially in scoring position, and also with two strikes. I mean, they're almost an impossible team to strike out, and it's just amazing. I mean, what are the stats on a team that goes up 2-0 in the World Series? It's something like an 85% chance you're going to take it all, right?
Yeah, something like that. I mean, for instance, the Mets can tell themselves, no big thing, Kansas City just held serve, now we're going back home. But the fact is, for all the stats you pointed out, when you look at Kansas City, they're so effective and they're so efficient. I mean, I don't care that they, quote, held serve. The Mets, I don't want to say the series is over before it even gets to New York, but the series is over before it even gets to New York. They're not beating them 4 out of 5 times. They're just not.
All right.
If they do, Bean will shave his head.
Right. Sure, why not? Deal. One more baseball thing before we move on to talking about the NFL tonight, and that is an amazing Lenny Dykstra story that I think with all the other sports going on maybe has gone a little bit underreported. Are you talking about this on your show, Jim?
You know, I may or I may not, but I'm more than happy to talk about it on your show.
Please.
However, this next take is graphic in nature.
Oh, dear.
Graphic in nature, you have been warned.
Okay.
Especially you, Allie.
I'm listening.
Right? She's not leaving her post. He went on a radio show, and he said that he paid $500,000 to PIs or creeps or whoever to trail the umpires when he played so he could get dirt on them. You know, things like which guys were cheating on their wives, which ones were gay, is what he said. And he used that information to get favorable calls from the umpires. In other words, he blackmailed the umpires.
And he got walked more than anyone else?
So he says. They ran that back to some of the umps. And the umps are like, are you kidding me? That is so absurd. I mean, it's a lie. It's not true. Every ump that TMZ asked said that's not true. And the fact is, this cat is a nut.
Yeah.
He is a bit of a nut. We're talking about a guy who used to be a wall-smashing, tobacco-juice-spitting roider, allegedly, who somehow turned himself into an alleged wizard on Wall Street. I mean, like a would-be tycoon who once talked his mom into giving him her credit card so he could book a private jet because he didn't have any money and she didn't either. I mean, that's the kind of guy we're talking about. And most of all, a guy who, according to a former employee, this is going to get really nasty and graphic right now. A former employee says, quote, would leave a large amount of feces in the toilet
so
he could hear the shrieks of the hotel's grossed out maids. Quote, end of freaking quote. It's in a book. Look it up.
I did not bring this up.
What did I tell you?
I do not want to look it up.
What did I tell you? You get that book and you read it.
I'll take your word for it, Jim.
Get that book and you read it.
I don't want to read that. Not interested.
So what I'm saying is you go ahead and believe that guy if you want to in that story about him blackmailing umpires. I'm going to say if his lips are moving, generally he's lying.
Okay. I hope that's true. All right.
Do you want me to rehash that story?
I think we got the details. Thank you, Jim. Our little friend Chip, who, as you know, is a lifelong Miami Dolphins fan, is a little bit excited that she may look good tonight. Her team may actually show up against the Patriots, their dreaded rivals. She doesn't think they're going to win. Is there any possibility that that happens, Jim?
What about your little friend Allie, who's obsessed with the Pats?
Oh, I mean, I like him.
Allie, didn't you say earlier today that you would be okay that, look, the Patriots are probably not going to run the table. No one ever does.
Absolutely.
But if they're going to lose a game, you'd be okay with
this
tonight.
Would be the game I'd be okay with them losing.
Why?
There's no – it's nothing. It's the Dolphins. That's fine.
It's a nonsense game?
It is.
Chip, are you going to take that?
Hell no.
Are you going to take that, Chip?
Come on, Allie. It doesn't matter. As long as we beat the Colts and the Jets – and let's be honest, those Bills fans can be a lot. I'm good.
I don't think you need to worry about the Colts. For Chip, you know, there's something here. Miami's had the coaching change. Dan Campbell's in. They've won their last two games. They've beat up on some scrubs, but they look really good doing it. So my feeling is they don't have enough just yet to beat the Patriots, but because of the coaching change, they're not going to get embarrassed. Chip can walk around feeling pretty good about Chip, and it'll be a good game to watch. They're not going to win, but I like the direction they're going in. Chip, you should be very happy about things.
Yeah, I'm super stoked, dude.
Are you super stoked, dude?
She's super stoked, dude.
It's like what you're saying about with the Jets. You know, they came close. They put up a good fight. They didn't win the game, but everybody has a lot of respect for them afterwards.
Well, the Jets are looking great this season.
The Jets are looking really good.
Exactly.
If you're a Jets fan, you should be super stoked, dude.
We're out of time. Jim Rome takes over AM 980 The Beast from 9 till noon today and every weekday, and look for him on Showtime as well. Jim, great to have you back on the show. We'll do it again next Thursday. Thank you.
Hey, Rock fam. You guys are awesome.
Last time we had our friend Greg Grunberg on the show, he was in Big Ass Spider. You guys remember that?
Absolutely.
A couple of years back?
Come on. Right?
Come on, right?
The best movie ever.
You don't have to tell us, man. We're with you.
I know. Not arguing. By the way, you guys have been so supportive of everything I do, and that especially is a movie that I was really proud of. Have you seen that movie? You're looking at me like you don't know what the hell I'm talking about.
I can't wait to watch it tonight.
Yeah. It's so good, Allie.
It's so fun. Thank you.
Anyway, Greg is back on the TV with Heroes Reborn, and he has so many other things going on. Let's welcome him back to the Kevin DeBean Show.
Thank you.
How are you, my friend?
So happy to be here, and I just took the biggest dump. I'm just telling you now.
We don't need you.
Because I got up so early to come here, right?
Okay.
I had to take my son to work out at school, and then I came here. I was like, went to get some coffee. Came here. I didn't do what Jack Black did, but I close.
Jack Black was awesome. Jack Black went to the restroom and then came into the office and said, "You're going to need to get a plumber." So that's
and by the way, not kidding.
Not kidding at all.
Need
to get a plumber.
Yeah.
So you didn't quite get to that level.
No. Right. But I left you a little baby daddy. I left you a little something there. Yeah.
Speaking of baby daddy. You were listening to Ralph on the way in talking about a horrific accident with one of the actors on that show. We did not realize that you are also on that show.
I am. I play the gay grandfather on that show. And that JL, Jean-Luc, and Derek, they're my kids. They play my sons on that show. If you haven't
Why
seen
weren't
that
you invited to this Halloween party where you got hurt?
I'm glad I wasn't.
Yeah, no kidding.
Apparently. But, no, this is serious. I mean, I'm going to contact him. I get all my information through Ralph.
It's like, do you?
Yeah, and then I have to call my friends. And see if they're okay.
But, I feel like that's not a good policy.
Yeah, I shouldn't follow that. Crazy.
It is crazy and a terrible way for you to find out about a friend of yours and a colleague.
Do you work at Hot Dog on a Stick? What is
this? In my off time, yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm looking at Allie's ID.
It's radio, Greg. Everybody needs a second gig. Let me tell you about Greg Grunberg. He is a guy who has to be one of the hardest working actors in Hollywood. And by that, I mean since the last time we had you in for Big Ass Spider, you not only have been doing Heroes, you've been on CSI, you've been on Criminal Minds, you've been on Hawaii Five-0, it's
the guy who won't say no.
It's insane how many Masters of Sex, you were on a bunch, right?
Yeah.
It's insane how many shows that you are on. I mean, you are living the actor's dream life, right?
Right now, I have to say, is because I have Star Wars that I'm in, that is not a huge role by any means, but the fact that I'm in that movie and got to work with my best friend and Heroes Reborn tonight, my character comes comes on the show and starts killing everyone. It's just
sweet.
It's great. It's
a
great
good time.
Time
to be you.
Yeah, Halloween. I'm going to the signing this weekend at Kamikaze downtown. Like, all this stuff is kind of hitting at the same time, and I'm having a good time. And I'm back home. That's the best part.
What can you tell us about Star Wars?
So, Big Ass Spider was really fun.
That's what I
on.
Thought.
And no, I can't say anything. I mean, it's all I know is that.
It seem to be going well?
Yes, very well, right. Very well. When I see JJ smiling and he's just like so excited all the time, and I don't want to know anything. I mean, it's hard because I was there and I shot my stuff, but at the same time, you know, I want to go to the theater with my kids the same way I did when I was
there.
I can
see that. Yeah.
Yeah.
What is it you think has connected with you and your best friend in the world, J.J. Abrams, way back when that has kept you guys as such frequent collaborators all these years later?
I think it has nothing to do with show business at all. He's just the greatest guy, and we both, it's a weird thing to be, to meet when you're 4 years old and to remain this close, and our families are really close.
You just work together because you enjoy each other's company. I mean, that's really what it boils down to, right?
No, I mean, for me, it's a job. No, I mean, I'm so lucky that he wants to work with me and continues to. As an actor, that's what you're waiting for people to hire you.
Did the Star Wars thing happen for you? I mean, did he just text you and say, hey, I'm doing it? Or, like, how was that first introduced?
Yeah, it was like a rumor that he was going to be involved, and I called him, and he's like, I don't know what I'm doing yet. You know, I haven't decided. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is the greatest movie franchise in the history
of
the world.
And what role do you have for me? What am I going to do? What am I going to do?
That's always my first question. No, when I found out that he was doing it, I was like, let the begging begin, you know? And I got
my knee
passed.
But you're the only actor who didn't have to beg to be in this movie, though.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, the begging stopped years ago, but for this, it was, it was like, you know, and by the way, like Star Trek, I did a voice in Star Trek. I was supposed to do another role, and I did a movie called Group Sex, and the dates didn't work out, so I ended up just doing the voice on that. And that was disappointing because I love Star Trek, and I loved what he did with the movie. So this was an opportunity to go over there, and my role – I mean, I was on the movie for 7 weeks in London.
You were?
Oh, yeah. But that, on a big movie like that, that's not much.
Not much.
You know, because they – you know.
But just – did you find yourself – I would find myself just walking around looking at the –
Oh, there's no
scenery.
Yes.
You're in that.
Yes. When I walked, I walked on the sets, walked into the Millennium Falcon. I
mean, oh,
it's like,
my
are
God.
You kidding me?
Dude.
Yeah.
Dude.
And the security was so tight. Like from where the trailers are, they call it the circus. So from the circus to the set, there were drones overhead from like TMZ and other people trying to get. This is in.
Wow.
This is outside London. On location, and so we had to be cloaked in black, these big black cloaks. So I had to wear my outfit, which you recognize me. I'm not like, I don't have ears. I don't have anything. You know, I have a beard.
Okay.
But other than that, and they cover you, and then you have to get in a car and drive. It was so secretive.
Are you allowed your cell phone at any point?
Well, you're not allowed. I mean, but I have to, look, I have to have constant contact with my wife, man, in case anything
happens.
Right,
but I can
here.
Imagine you try to pull out your phone to take a picture, and you get a...
Oh,
I'll blow dart.
I'll show you some photos. This is a radio show. I can show you some photos.
All right.
But yeah, I mean, I did what I, what I could, but normally I steal stuff from the set, and it's like I want a little memorabilia.
Sure.
No
sure.
chance. Mm.
Come on, you got Yoda in your bag.
Did you try?
Yeah,
Greg.
Of course I tried.
What's it like for you and Oscar and Lupita and all these other young actors that are on the set when Harrison Ford shows up? I mean, does everybody just geek the F out over Harrison Ford and like want to like all day long talk to him?
Yeah, I mean, my first moment was I was off camera. Okay, so I'm next to my face is next to the camera, and I have a scene with or a moment whatever not a scene with Carrie Fisher, who I'm like, Carrie Fisher, are you kidding me? And her daughter Billy Lord's there, whatever. Anyway, we do our thing, and then she walks towards me, and that's supposed to be the end. She walks towards me, wraps her arms around me, grabs my ass, and I'm like, welcome to Star Wars.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. My God. And you're living my dream.
She is literally the greatest. He is the best. Like, they're such pros. So, yes, you're 100% right. Like, there was a moment. I mean, I'm talking about stuff I shouldn't be talking about.
Yeah.
But there was a moment where we were all standing around, we have a scene together, and And JJ yells cut and then comes over to me and goes, okay, I caught you watching the movie on that take. Like, you're standing there like you're watching the movie.
I'm
like,
what am I supposed to do?
Yeah. It's Harrison Ford, man. Wow. You know,
you're the age to have been when Princess Leia was in the bikini. Were about 13, 14 years old, I bet.
I told her how many times I masturbated to
her. Okay.
All right.
How can you stop?
Yeah. I don't know that you have to say it to her.
That's what Look, she's heard, I she's heard that ever that since better? That movie
told
came
her daughter.
Out.
That's much better.
Yeah, I was like, Billy, guess what I did to your mom?
That's way better.
It's way better.
All right. Greg Rumberg is here. He is, there's only rumors at this point. We are told he is the Jar Jar Binks of this new Star Wars, of course, Awakens movie.
No, Juju. Juju Binks.
You can meet him. We'll talk about Kamikaze when we come back. But just in case, for those who can't join us, it's happening all weekend long. And you are going to be Saturday in the South Hall at the Kamikaze at the LA Convention Center. Sign in stuff from 11:30 to 1:30, then from 2:30 to 4:30. And
yep.
You get your tickets at KamikazeExpo.com. More with Greg right after this on K-Rock. Actor Greg Rumberg in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. It says here you are a writer, producer, and an entrepreneur as well, Greg. So
yes.
Good on you, my friend.
Thank
good on you.
Thank you.
Hey, how did Heroes end up back on the air? It was gone for what, about 5 years or so, and then came back as Heroes Reborn.
Yes, 6 years, and we were watching, some huge event, the Olympics, I believe, and there was a promo for it. And we were all like, what? I'm sitting at home going, I've been not working for a reason. No, I was doing all the stuff. And then all of a sudden there was a text that from all of us, all the cast going, you know about this? How do you know about this? And Tim said, yeah, he was at a party or a meeting or something at NBC. And they said, what about bringing this thing back? And he had been trying for a long time. Look, if they got one half of the ratings that we got before, you know, TV is so different now.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
And it's a show that, luckily for us, that had a good following and everybody loved the characters and everything. So it was really smart for them to bring it back. And the problem I had was they brought it back and shot it in Toronto, which I love that city.
Right.
But I didn't realize how spoiled I was. I have a family here, so it was tough. And we just wrapped our 13 episodes. And that's
all there are, right? So that's the whole arc of this season is just 13 episodes, right?
Yeah, they're doing I guess they're calling it kind of a, you know, it's the way they do on the BBC. Like they'll do a certain number of episodes and see how it does. But if the show, which the show is doing well, I think they might continue it. We'll see. But at least the writers had a point to write to, as opposed to, oh, the ratings keep, okay, now we got to keep this thing going.
Right.
You know, so it was nice.
What character do you play? You show up tonight, right?
Yeah, tonight. I'm Matt Parkman. I'm back as the mind reading cop, but I'm doing some things that I basically sold myself to the highest bidder to save my family. And
going rogue.
Oh, I'm so rogue and so badass.
All right.
It's bad. I mean, really, it's the bad in the best way possible. Because
are you as badass as Zach Levi has been?
Yeah. Yeah. Although,
oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. I'm not a, yeah. I don't, what do you think of his character?
I think it's fun to see him play a guy that you've never seen him play before. You know, just from an acting perspective, it's awesome. But I also can't picture you being pure evil either. I mean, it's really, you're kind of flipping the script a little bit.
Yeah, but to save my family, ultimately, that's what it's for.
The problem is they're killing everybody with the power, so you step in and you...
I'm going after, yeah.
You go to the dark side.
I go to the
so
dark
to speak.
Side. Yeah.
So
it's great in such a great way. And you think about it, I can control everyone. So outside of Mossy's character, we can go back in time and erase what just happened. I'm, this super powerful character that I never realized I was, honestly, until I started getting the script and going, what? So now none of the other actors wanted to have a scene with me, because they knew what that meant.
Because you're the trump card. You can win.
Exactly. Yeah.
Wow. Greg, my wife is way hot for Mohinder. Is that commonplace? Does that actor hear that a lot?
Well, he's not allowed in my house. I'll tell you right now.
He's very popular with the ladies, right?
Yes. Sendhil Ramamurthy. Look at Milo.
He's dead to me.
Yeah.
He's dead to me.
But he's back on the show. And who else? Jack Holman, which I was so happy. I mean, Jack's amazing.
Of course.
He's sort of the spine of the show. And like I said, it's doing well. The new characters are great. I think, we kind of went off the rails, I think, season three with all of these characters in the circus. And not that I love the actors and everything, but it was confusing. It was like, everybody has powers now or whatever.
Yeah, that can be a difficult world to wrangle.
Yes.
I would imagine.
And keep everybody, all these plates
relevant.
Spinning.
Yeah.
And Greg, you talk about how TV has changed. What has also changed is there are now 10 other superhero TV shows on the air. And that's kind of tougher for you guys to kind of cut through and carve out your own niche as well.
Absolutely right. And by the way, not just 10 other shows, 10 other amazing shows. Like, yeah. They really,
really well
are.
Done, yeah.
Very
yeah,
well
the
done.
The Flash and Supergirl and Gotham. I mean, they're doing so much good work with those
How's
kinds
Supergirl?
Of things now.
Have you guys seen Supergirl?
I
really
loved
good.
It.
You did?
Yeah.
Really good.
It's really good, yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, I'm a huge fan of these shows, so I'm happy about it. But when I look at something, look, Into the Badlands, have you seen the promo for this?
That looks awesome.
Oh, my God. I'm scared because, you know, there's only so much time for people to spend watching TV. It's fine, you know, to binge it and watch it, which is what we do.
Yeah, it is.
You know, I mean, I never thought that it would be like, dude, Heroes is back on your phone. I mean, that's basically what's happening. You know, I was at Starbucks this morning, and there was a guy watching an episode of Heroes. I, like, creeped by him, and, you know, it's amazing. People are watching it, you know, wherever they can.
This is the voice of our friend Greg Renberg here on the Kevin Bean Show. Heroes Reborn airs tonight at 8 on NBC. What do you when you do the kamikaze that you're doing this weekend, kamikazeexpo.com,
yeah.
What's it like for you? When people stop by your table, what do they most want to talk to you about, Greg, after your long career?
First of all, right away, people are like, oh, my God! Like, Elvis is in the building.
Right.
And then immediately they realize that I'm a normal person, and it's such a letdown. I mean, I see it on their
faces.
So
real... High highs and then low lows.
Immediately.
Okay.
And then they look at the price of the signature. And no, I actually had a couple, and they were standing there like, oh, and we had a great conversation. And then they're just standing there, and I'm looking at them. They're looking at me. We're across the table. I'm like, okay, there's a line of people. And I'm like,
anything else?
Yeah, I'm like, this is a drug deal right here. Let's just end it. And she looks at her husband. Her husband looks down at the price and then goes, nah, I don't think it's worth it. And I was like, that's nice.
Really?
Yeah. And then moves on. And then the next person spends $400 with me signing all kinds of stuff from things in my career. So
it's crazy.
But the best part for me, and this is Stan Lee's in L.A. Mm-hmm. First of all, I don't have to travel. I say no to a lot of these things because I don't want to travel away from my family on the weekends. But Stan Lee runs a great show. It's at the L.A. Convention Center, like you mentioned. And I get to actually interact. You know, it's nice. It's really nice. The days of, like, keeping it separate are over. I found out Heroes was going off the air from a friend of mine who lives in D.C.
It feels like all actors find information that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's been picked up
from the fan.
Canceled.
I call Frank. You know, it's like,
crazy.
You know, so it's.
KamikazeExpo.com, by the way, if you want to buy tickets, they're only $30, and it's going on all weekend at the convention center. We're also giving some away here on the Kevin Bean Show right now if you want to call us at 1-800-520-1067. The first five callers through you.
Tales from Halloween. I'm in this thing called Tales from Halloween, which is on.
What's that?
It's number one Halloween movie on iTunes right now, and it's a bunch of directors doing shorts that'll scare the crap out of you. And I did one with Mike Mendez, who did Big Ass Spider and Epic Pictures. They put this movie together, and it's really good. And it's really fun, and it's short attention span theater. It's like, you know, a bunch of different stories.
Are you on everything?
Yes.
No, not yet. Not yet. I want to go back on Baby Daddy, if you're listening.
Another thing I wanted to ask you about, Greg, is I remember when we had you on a few years ago, when apps were not so commonplace, and you were pimping something out at the time called Yowza.
Yeah.
And it got to be very, very popular. You ended up selling that thing, right?
I did. I sold it to...
Are you a billionaire now?
Oh, yeah. Well, many times over. I'm running for president. No, I sold it to a company called Spindle, which is a publicly traded company, and they have made it much more robust. And if you have Yowza, you still get all the great coupons, but now you can pay with it, and it's linked to POS systems, you know, in the stores and stuff.
What did you learn about? I mean, what did you learn about that experience? And can you come up with another one now?
Yeah, but what I learned for me is to focus. Like, it's like I'm now producing TV stuff. And you know, I did a couple movies. I did Group Sex, I wrote and produced, and now I'm doing a couple other things. For me to go on shows and go, hey, you know, I'm the guy from Heroes and download a coupon. I mean, you guys were so sweet about it. And we, 1.5 million people were downloaded it and used it. But I really want to focus. I have a couple of things that are about to launch. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I'm mainly focusing with my production company and doing that kind of thing. Because it's, you know, the energy that you take to do that. I could be put into a movie or a TV series or whatever, and I'm hosting a couple
things. So you're doing it, but just behind the scenes.
Yes, exactly. Okay. And getting another celebrity to be the face of it. Jennifer Love Hewitt and I have a really cool thing that we're doing. And, like, you know, so that's what I'm trying to do. It and is, also the charity is. Stuff, my band, man. I mean,
yeah.
that takes
yeah,
a lot of time.
That's right. You're very active in all of that.
Yeah.
It's great. I mean, you must have a – you just must have a crazy schedule when you wake up. There must be days where you're doing five completely different things in the course of that day.
Yeah, but I come here to poop.
That's what's important.
Same. I start my day here.
Same.
All right, last –
I love you guys that much.
Last question for you, Greg. Yes. You were the first celebrity that we heard about who was on a new invention called Twitter.
Yeah.
Are you still using it, and do you still love it?
Oh, I love it more than ever, and I use it like crazy. I, you know, when I first, I mean, I have 1.5 million people. That seems to be my number, by the way, that follow me on Twitter, and they're all young Korean boys, and I couldn't be happier.
but take your pick.
Exactly. When I have a charity thing, you know, talkaboutit.org, my foundation for epilepsy, right? I can get the message out when the band's playing, and we don't play and sell tickets. We play events, charity events and things. And it's just great to have a platform or to tell people to watch a show or whatever. I don't have to preach Twitter, but I was happy I was an early adopter. I tried to invest. Trust me.
Did you?
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk to an investor.
Dean, how'd that go? I didn't invest in Twitter. I just bought stock when it went public, which are two different things. And, of course, it's done nothing but tank since I have owned it.
Yeah, you got to follow Oprah.
Apparently so.
God. That's brilliant. Crazy. No, but there was a director that I was working with, and he told me there's this thing called Twitter. We're doing a show called Fastlane. I don't know if you remember Fastlane
sure.
on Fox.
Fastlane, yep. sure.
He ran that show, and he said, could you go on and tweet? And I said, I don't know. And I started doing it. And then I realized how really quickly I realized this is going to be huge. And I went to him and said, I want to, give whatever I had, whatever it was, like 10 grand or 30 grand, something like that. And, which was a lot of money for me. And they said, no, they just took $13 million. And then the next week they took $50 million and boom,
wow.
It was over. But he was an early investor. He was an angel or like friends and family around or something.
Well, you wouldn't have had to been on Baby Daddy if you had gotten that money on their Twitter.
That's true.
All right, Greg Grunberg, we love you. It's great to see you again. Have fun at the Kamikaze Expo this weekend. Heroes Reborn tonight at 8 o'clock, and we just can't wait for Christmas time. We'll be in the audience with you, man, watching that Star Wars movie. So appreciate you coming by today. It was
please.
Really fun.
Thank you.
Thank you, Greg.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 5 minutes till 9.
That Greg Grunberg, he's a good deal right there.
He is one of the best people I know.
Yeah.
Really is. Sweetheart of a guy, super talented, good all-around man.
Good dude. Hey, Rob is here with the Showbiz Beat, and then just after 9, we'll talk to Dr. Drew. He doesn't know it yet, but we found out something so shocking about Dr. Drew, a man that we thought we knew.
Not a real doctor.
He's a doctor.
Wait. He is a real doctor.
We can't wait to talk to him about it. He got his medical license online.
That's incorrect. He's an actual doctor.
It was a template. It was a template. You type in your name and you hit print.
No, that's not true.
I'm a doctor of medicine.
He's actually a doctor.
He really is a doctor.
Of medicine?
Yes, of medicine.
Or philosophy.
Of medicine.
That's anyway, alleged.
You definitely don't want to miss this conversation coming right up after 9. First, here's Ralph.
All right. Here's one of the few benefits of working in radio come in.
Okay.
You can be live, local, and late breaking.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I would like to be two of those things.
Okay.
And now, breaking news bulletin.
Yeah. If you live near the Fresh and Easy supermarket on La Cienega, or you know someone who does, who lost a dog, we found it. One of our phone screeners here at K-Rock was at Fresh and Easy on La Cienega here in the Culver City area. And came across a beautiful, uncollared, untagged dog in the parking lot that is very friendly. It seems to be very well cared for, very well groomed. So we assume that someone is missing him or her right now. And if you have lost your dog, I'm not going to tell you what kind it is or what sex it is or what size it is, because I don't want some loon coming and claiming it if it's not theirs.
There are no loons out there, Rob.
But if you lost your dog, call us here at KROQ, 1-800-520-1067.
Caller 20.
No, we're not giving the dog away.
If they don't call,
what are we going to do
with
it?
Sounded like you're giving the dog away.
Call now, we'll get right back to you. That's what we're saying. It's a very sweet dog, and our fear is it's trained. I had it doing tricks in the other room for beef jerky. It's somebody's dog.
And I cannot believe that it's not collared or tagged. We're hoping maybe it'll
be
chipped. We don't know. We'll find out if we can't find it this way. But I just thought I'd put the call out there because right now somebody may be driving around panicked looking for their dog. So I just wanted to give a little alert out there for all you puppy owners.
It's happy, healthy, and we're chasing it down the hallways.
That's right. He or she is getting quite the work.
So we got ourselves a dog now.
Yep. We don't have a dog.
We have
trying
a dog.
To reunite the
until
dog.
Until caller 20.
With their owners.
We have a dog.
We don't not caller 20. Oh. I just envision some crying child somewhere saying, where's
dinner?
Sparky.
Dinner. You don't dinner. Know, man.
I do know. I do know. No one's raising it for dinner.
Just plump enough. A lot of different neighborhoods in Los Angeles. You don't know where that dog was headed.
It does look pretty tasty.
This is
it
just,
does. Looks delicious.
You've ruined everything that you do all the time.
You guys are the worst. I hate you. I hate you.
It sounds racist. Katy Perry is at Madonna's concert at the LA Forum on Tuesday night. Katy went out on stage during Madonna's song "Unapologetic Bitch." Yeah, that's right. She's out there. Can't tame her. Madonna said about Katy, she's been a bad, bad, bad girl. And then guess what happened?
I'm going to say...
spanked her.
Spanking! Oh. Survey says... ding! Number one answer. Then Madonna spanked Katy Perry because she's out there and crazy.
Yeah.
Then Katy Perry took a swig from a flask, but the flask was shaped like a banana. And then Madonna said... I'm sure you can find other things to do with that banana because she's crazy that way with her crazy, unbridled sexiness.
This is real?
Is this real?
This all happened.
Huh.
This all happened.
That is nice.
It's just such a desperate, desperate.
Now, is your problem, Ralph, that you feel Madonna is too old to be so sexual?
It has nothing to do with age. It has to do with 2015. Hey, you could do something with that banana. If someone said that on a sitcom, you'd be like, who wrote that cornball line?
Yeah, true.
Right.
She's been a bad girl. I'm going to spank her. It all sounds like bad role play. It's like an awful phone sex call. Hey, I'm drinking out of a banana right now. You know what else I can do with this banana? You've been bad. You're going to get a spanking. It's just such cliche tripe. It's not sexy. It's not risque. It's not groundbreaking or titillating. It's just weak. If anyone of any age said those things, I'd be like, really? That's the best you got?
Stay with that. You want to take another run at it?
Miley Cyrus is doing shows in the nude, licking milk off of people. Come on.
Step up.
Step your game up.
Ralph, we got a
Milky, Milky Milk. She's got a song called Milky, Milky Milk.
She does.
Sure. Yeah. We got a caller who wants to buy the dog.
And no one's buying the dog.
At this point, if the owner hasn't come forward,
it's been like 8 minutes, Bean.
Why not make a little something off of it?
We're not making any money on the puppy.
Dude, $30 is $30.
Bastard.
We're starting it at $30, though. That's not the.
That's a good looking dog.
Somebody else can call it. We're not going to go up from 30.
We're not selling the dog.
We're not auctioning the dog. Right. We're trying to reunite the dog for free with the dog's proper owner.
Right, but if that doesn't happen, let's sell the dog and make some cash, is all I'm saying.
I'm saying let's not do that. If it doesn't happen, I'll take the dog.
No.
You love dogs.
Will,
you don't get a dog.
I need a dog. I need
a real dog. You have a dog that you hate.
Ralph, you hate your dog.
Because that dog is not a good dog.
Right, but
I'm going to get a good
you
dog.
You don't get this dog.
I've earned a good dog. After putting up with the bad dog for 8 years, I deserve the good dog.
Ralph hates this dog. I'm not sure he's the one you want taking this dog home.
This dog is a good dog. I had beef jerky in the other room doing tricks and doing love and calmness and quietness and just a relaxed dog.
You're going to go home and hate
refreshing.
Your dog more now.
I'm going to take the other dog and say, see, this is how a dog's supposed to act. Do that. Less of what you do.
And then bring Reggie.
Mental case.
And then bring Reggie back and give him away to somebody.
Yeah, I'll trade. Maybe I'll just make a trade. Can I swap him?
You take the good one home and you bring the bad one back.
I'm going to take Reggie and take him to the parking lot at the Fresh and Easy on Las Vegas.
Reggie!
Boot him out the passenger side. Say, you're on your own, sport. Good luck.
That's very true. No. Ralph hates his dog.
He does, but Reggie's
great. The dog's
great.
An asshole. It's just a...
Something's wrong with the dog. He's just neurotic. He's got a mental problem. Dog needs a serious attitude adjustment. Oh, it's me. I'm coming home. Why are you barking at me like I'm a stranger? You moron. Dumb dog. Today's celebrity birthdays. Tove Lo. Singer Tove Lo is 28 years old today. Remember how we mocked Dave? Because he said, you know, her name is actually pronounced Tove Lo.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh, Dave, will you ever get a grasp on vowels and how they work? And then she was in. We said, Tove Lo, what's really your name? She goes, well, my home country of Sweden is pronounced Tove Lo. And we're like,
right. Right, but that was one time out of 100,000.
But that's all he needs. Now he's like, who was right about Tove Lo? That was me. Thank you. Mataclan. Malbin. Been there. Ben Foster's 35 years old today. Gabrielle Union's 43. Winona Ryder's 44. Dan Castellaneta. Of course, the man who invented the castanets and also a very talented voice actor. He is 58 years old today. And Richard Dreyfuss, American film icon, legend. Jaws, Close Encounters, Stakeout.
Right.
Mr. Holland's Opus.
Sat down with Beer Mug for an interview a while back, and we've been playing it as a four-part series this morning, and it's just embarrassing on every level. Well, when we left off, Richard Dreyfuss, Beer Mug tried to say how excited he was for Richard Dreyfuss's miniseries of Coma, and after being subjected to Beer Mug for 10 minutes, Richard Dreyfuss said, not half as excited as I am. Ironically, here is the final finale of that interview.
Well, Richard, thank you for your time. You are truly one of my inspirations. I'm not an actor, but you, comedic-wise, like, I mean, you take serious roles, comedic roles, but, I mean, that's the arts right there. You know, laughter, sad, cry, everything. And Mr. Dreyfuss, thank you so much.
Yeah.
That's the arts right there.
It is the arts right there. Laughter, sad, cry. The three parts of the arts, as they're known, of course. I believe it was Plato who originally broke it down into the three portions of the arts: laughter, sad, and cry.
Beer Mug is the Reggie of humans.
Right? Yeah. I need one of them shock collars for Beer Mug. I'm Ralph Garman. I'll walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, if you just this second joined us and you missed Ralph's announcement, a dog was found in the parking lot by one of our phone screeners, Tatiana, here at the Kevin and Bean Show, in the Fresh and Easy store in Culver City. And
they're selling dogs?
Nope. The dog was in the parking lot, Kevin, and she brought the dog to K-Rock because he or she was wandering around with no collar, no tags, no way to get in touch with the owner. So the dog is here at K-Rock. So call if you lost a dog in that area, and we'll try to hook you up, because it would be nice to have I'd love to see a happy ending for this story by the end of the show. That'd be nice if we could find the owner, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Or the highest
bidder. All right.
Highest bidder as well.
Nope, we're not selling the dog.
Well, I'm saying $5.
$5. Starting at $5. Who'll give me $5? Who's got 10? Who's got 10? Allie?
Nope.
We like to catch up with our good friend Dr. Drew, usually about something that's going on in the news. And Dr. Drew is a very busy man. Of course, he's co-hosting Loveline. He's on the KABC show. He does the HLN show Monday through Thursday nights at 6. But we have something very personal we want to talk to the doctor about. Welcome, sir. How are you?
I'm good. This sounds very serious. I feel like I'm going to the principal's office.
It's not serious at all.
Nope, not at all. Okay. Dr. Drew, I'm a huge fan of yours, and I try to follow you on all the social media platforms that I can. And I had the opportunity, a real pleasure, to see your interview that you did on Sirius Satellite Radio a couple weeks ago with Sway.
Okay.
And it was nice
so
to,
far. Okay.
it was great to see some soul brothers just hanging out together. I enjoyed that very much.
Are you counting Dr. Drew as a soul brother?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
But something came up in that interview that was so shocking to me, Dr. Drew, that I thought it might be interesting for our listeners, and that involves your prostate.
Okay. Well, I don't have a prostate anymore, so it okay.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. How did it end up that you don't have a prostate, first of all? Yes. Most males do, right?
Yes. We'll go through that piece. So I developed prostate cancer about 5 years ago, as most men will at one point in their life, by the way, but I got it at a young age when you have to do something about it. And because it was a low-grade tumor, I was on what's called an active surveillance program. We just watched it for a while. Then it started to grow, so we had time to pull the trigger, take my prostate out. It's a big operation. I'm sort of looking back at the, it was 2 years ago when I had that done. I'm sort of looking back at that now and going, oh, man, it took me a while to recover from that. But the reason I brought it up with Sway was African-American men are more likely to die of prostate cancer, more likely to get prostate cancer, more likely to have complications at the time they're diagnosed.
Why is that?
We don't really know. Some of it is they won't do the screening. They're resistant to having somebody put a finger up their butt. And well, I'm just saying.
Who could not be for that?
It's such a pleasure. And there seems to be something genetic going on, too. So I was making the point that, you know, I'm with something called the Prostate Cancer Foundation, PCF.org, if you want more information. And we're trying to raise awareness, particularly amongst black men. And so that came up. That's what I was talking about. But then I don't remember what I said next. So I'm dying to know what came up.
What you said next was, as a result of having your prostate removed, when you orgasm, nothing comes out.
That's correct.
Not even air?
Not even powder.
His follow-up was not even air. And I thought that was one of the funniest follow-up questions ever. Because not even air?
Right. Because it's not an air gun. It's a penis. why is that, Dr. Drew? Physically, why does it happen that way?
Because by the way, you need to listen to more Loveline because Catherine was all, Psycho Mike's always calling it ghost loads. And he has the joy of bringing that up all the time, which I so appreciate. But I'm pretty desensitized to this topic, so I guess it's not too much information. Be that as it may, the prostate is the gland that produces the fluid.
Okay.
It doesn't produce the sperm. The sperm and the fluid are mixed together in the seminal vesicles. But all that comes out during the operation where they take your cancer out. It all comes out. Everything goes.
Okay.
And so there's no more fluid.
Does it still feel the same to you?
Same. Exactly the same.
And
there's no mess.
And can we do that just as an elective thing? I'm for people wondering at home.
For those that aren't really that into that fluid.
I'm just saying, ladies, who's with me?
Can I get an amen?
It does sound like the type of thing that some women would now be saying to their husbands and boyfriends, hey, why don't you go get the Dr. Drew surgery?
Yeah, it's much more cleanly. It's no muss, no fuss. Turn your penis into an air gun. It's great.
Was it weird for you to get used to Dr. Drew,
or is it bringing joy to the rest of you?
Yeah. Was it weird for you to get used to, or did you just kind of fall back into it? Just seem normal in a hurry.
It seemed pretty normal in a hurry. You know, I'm a physician. I knew what I was getting into. It was not a shock. You know, like, oh my God, what's going on here? That would be interesting.
Yeah.
But you know, when you're going through the, I don't know if you guys want to get into this, but when you're going through the biopsies. The nature of the fluid changes with the biopsy. You see a lot of blood.
Yeah, I don't think we want. I don't think we need more detail on that.
Good. So the absence of some of that stuff is like, oh, this is a good thing.
Okay. How common is this surgery that you had? Are there a million people in America who've had it?
You're looking for a date, Bean?
Well, I'm curious. I've just never heard of it before in my whole life. That's why it's all new to me.
It's called a robotic radical prostatectomy. It's done in men in their 40s, 50s, sometimes 60s, if they get certain grades of prostate cancer, and it's curative. And it's a massively successful procedure. And what's interesting to me, since I went public about it, it was a weird experience going public, by the way, because I wanted to make sure first I was a good story. I wanted to make sure I was, in fact, a cure before I went, hey, everybody.
Hey, check this out.
So I waited a year or so, and then I got a call from a tabloid going, we hear you have cancer, you're dying, and the HLN is going to replace you. We're going with the story. I was like, oh, come on.
We're going with the story.
Yeah, give me a couple weeks, I'll tell you the whole story. So I came the whole thing out. But when I did, that was about a year ago, I got calls from some very... very public people whom you know who are younger than me,
okay,
who were going through the same thing. They haven't chosen not to talk about it yet, but, man, when they do, it will be big. You'll be shocked who has had this.
Okay.
You'll be shocked.
All right. Let's leave on an educational note because I think there are a lot of people, because they're uncomfortable with anyone getting anywhere near their prostate, maybe they do resist getting checkups. At what age should men go to their doctor and say, hey, check me out, doc, and make sure I'm cool?
Yes, thank you for bringing this up. At 50, everybody, every year, blood test called a PSA, prostate-specific antigen, and a digital rectal exam. That's the fun part everyone loves.
Digital.
If you have a first-degree relative, particularly if they, too, got cancer at a young age, you should start at 40. So it is really important. I screen people, you know, in the 40, 45 range anyway, just to get a baseline. But it is something, there's no reason anybody should die of prostate cancer. If you live long enough, 100% of men will have prostate cancer at 100. Most men will get it by the time they're 80. And if you get it late in life, we don't even need to do anything about it. It's a low-grade tumor. But early, it can kill you. It's a little different, and that's when you got to get at it and take it out. Cure
it. My butt hurts.
That is great advice. All right, look for Dr. Drew. Yes, go ahead, Ellie. I'm sorry.
All men that don't have a prostate, they don't produce any semen.
So if anyone would like to date Allie.
I'm saying, is there a telltale sign? How can I know?
Is there a dating site for guys like this?
Can I swipe right?
Let's talk after the show. You and I need to set up a dating app for guys with no prostate.
$1 million right here.
Look for Dr. Drew on HLN Monday through Thursday nights at 6. Also with Mike Catherwood on Loveline 5 nights a week and weekday afternoons on KABC. Doc, thank you for your frankness on this topic. We enjoyed talking to you. We'll do it again next week, sir.
You bet. Bye. To play pretend, give the job a different names. We would build a rocket ship and then we fly far away. Used to dream of outer space, but now they're laughing at the face saying, wake up, you need to make money.
Yeah. Where am I? Why am I not in the studio?
do we have no Kevin?
Not so much Kevin.
No, Kevin's not here.
Not so much for the Kevin.
Well,
okay.
You know, he puts in, you know, a good 75% of the work day, and he figures that's good enough. It's good enough
he's
for
on
him.
The way home right
oh, no,
now.
He just
that's
came
fine.
In and flipped me off because he's not in the studio. Somehow I'm the bad guy. Hey, there he is now. Hey, what's up?
I can't help it if you're the bad guy. It's not my fault.
Were you pooping?
I was not, but thank you for checking.
Where are you going?
I was trying to get out of this studio. Has this been talked about?
You were well out for a long time.
Yeah.
Your problem, I think, is getting into the studio more than is getting out of the studio.
Yeah. What we were discussing really made you leave?
It was the 15 minutes of what's your favorite El DeBarge song, Ralph?
No, not El DeBarge.
That drove me from the studio. And then Bean would sing some, and then Allie would play some on her computer, and then Bean would sing some.
Sounds like a good time to me.
Terrible. Yeah. It's the worst time ever.
DeBarge
Talking
rules.
DeBarge. It was awesome.
Talking DeBarge. DeBarge.
Yeah. Ralph
Bean's
is here
new
with
podcast.
Talking DeBarge.
Talking DeBarge.
Don't tempt me, because I'll do it.
No, you won't.
I will
you
do
don't
it.
Do anything. If I wasn't married, I'd have such a great DeBarge podcast.
I would have the best the world's goddamn greatest. DeBarge podcast in the world. I'm going to do it. By the way, Muggs went to elementary school with El DeBarge's son.
Nobody cares.
Which is going to be my first interview. I'm going to interview Muggs about going to the elementary school with El DeBarge's son, El.
I can't believe you. Don't shut up.
That'll be an awesome podcast.
A great interview.
Yeah, shut up, dude.
I'd love to hear Muggs wax poetic about his days in elementary school with El DeBarge's kid.
I wish you could just shut your big yapper.
That'd be a big win.
Hey, what's the update on the little doggy?
No update, Bean. There's no update. No one has called in to claim the dog. That for those of you just tuning in, one of our phone screeners here rescued a dog in a parking lot at the Fresh and Easy Market on La Cienega here in West L.A. / Culver City area. And
was it rescued or kidnapped?
Well, it was alone running around a parking lot.
All right.
And so our phone screener didn't feel she, in all good conscience, could just leave it there running around the parking lot for fear of it being struck.
How well do we know her?
By a vehicle. And so the puppy was very friendly, came up to her, jumped up on her lap, and so she decided to take it in and protect it until we could find its rightful owner. And,
it doesn't seem like the dog is a stray or anything like that.
No.
She's
well-groomed, well-cared for. It knows tricks, knows commands. I was feeding a little beef jerky there, making it do things for me.
Which you normally do with Beer Mug.
Which, right. Actually, Beer Mug said, can I have some of that? I'm not kidding you. As I was giving the beef jerky to the dog. Beer Mug actually asked, hey, can I have some of that?
Are you going to finish that?
So if you lost a dog or you know someone who lost a dog, I'm not going to give you a description or sex or anything because I don't want some faker to call in here trying to get a sweet-ass dog. So, but if you did lose a dog and you're worried, then call 1-800-520-1067 and we'll try to put you back together with your pet. But Allie says the dog is absolutely chipped, so there's nothing to worry about.
I'm just saying it's a very good-looking and a beautiful breed of dog. There's no way they didn't chip that dog. If they did, they don't deserve the dog back. That dog's got to be chipped.
Allie McKay,
wow.
Dog judge. You do not deserve to get this dog
back.
That's
a good show.
You know, if you don't have a collar or your dog chips, you're not a good dog owner. You're kind of a horrible person.
Adam McKay, dog judge.
Get out of my court.
Her bark is worse than her bite. She's Allie McKay, dog judge.
What about Kevin Bean listener Steve, who writes in and says, guys, I already have a dog, but I don't have a girlfriend, is the phone screener who found the dog hot. I'm not sure that's what we're doing here, right?
She's going to call her 20.
Tatiana's like, we're not giving Tatiana away either.
No.
Tatiana's a hottie, though, but I don't know if she's involved or not. But
She's Cuban.
The way she eagerly rescued this pet, though, makes me believe she is alone.
Wow.
I'm just saying. She took the first opportunity.
Now Ralph is judged.
First opportunity to get some companionship.
complications in her life to stand in the way.
Maybe she doesn't have a lot going on.
Big heart.
In the social department.
Lovely girl, big heart. Cares about people.
The way
and
she
dogs.
Pulled the dog out of someone's arm in a parking lot at a supermarket.
It could be a kidnapping, saying.
Made me think that was
we don't know.
She says she has a lot of empty rooms in her apartment and in her heart.
Yes, so lots of room. Anyway, Tatiana, you did the right thing.
Adam McKay, dog judge. We'll be right back after this word from Purina.
Somebody.
I'd watch it.
Call me. Get a development deal. Foo Fighters are the best.
Yes.
Agreed.
All right. Next story.
Foo judge.
Well, I don't know what they got cooked up, but it's going to be cool. I can guarantee you that. All I know is there's a big countdown clock on their website.
Okay.
No word on what it's going to be, but they've launched a countdown clock on the Foo Fighters website. It's a timer, which right now is about 24 days. So 24 days. Midnight on November the 23rd, we're going to get a big announcement from Foo Fighters.
Could it be a new song?
Yes, absolutely. I just it told you band. We don't know what it is.
It is a band,
so it could be a new song.
Could it be another season of their TV show?
Yes, it could be a second season of their successful HBO series Sonic Highways.
Might they be announcing some new concert dates? All things that bands do, they could do.
Thank you, Sam. Keep an eye out for the next 24 days and see what's going on. While we're talking music, Tool fans, not necessarily pleased with Maynard. He told the Phoenix New Times newspaper that, no, he doesn't know when the new Tool album is coming out, and please stop asking him. Here's his quote. Insufferable people. It's just ridiculous. I'm sorry. I can't help them. Way too serious. Too much. Lighten up. Well, some Tool fans do not take that too lightly. And the Twitterverse has been buzzing with angry tweets directed at Maynard regarding that statement. Hilarious that you can flat out insult your core fan base, then S in a Ziploc bag and they'll still buy it. Ha, that's talent. Maynard tweeted back, our core fan base aren't fanatics. They're music lovers and artists and good people. It's the fanatics that are insufferable. Like that douchebag who tweeted him. So
you're being a Tool, man.
Right. So don't ask him if you see him when the new album's
coming
out.
He'll choke you right out.
You will lose, sir.
He seems like a Tool.
This seems unfair. A popular actor from Kuwait named Abdul Aziz Al-Kassar. You know his work?
I don't.
Seven Sundays in May.
That's right. He's in Seven Sundays in May.
I don't know his work.
And he also starred in that famous movie.
The Pink Fruit Mountain.
Pink Fruit Mountain.
Anyway, he's the man who invented Booyah!
No, that's not him. Anyway, he was in Saudi Arabia, and he got mobbed by a group of female fans. You know what that's like.
Sure.
Happens to us every time we do a Kevin and Bean show appearance. Kevin and myself are usually mobbed by a group of female fans. Bean, not so much. Anyway, he gets mobbed, and then he gets arrested in Saudi Arabia.
That seems bad.
Because officers working for the Commission for the Promotion of Virtue and the Prevention of Vice says it's a crime.
Was he too hot?
To be mixing with women unrelated to him.
Oh. But how?
So he's at a thing and they approach him and now he's in trouble because he was too close to them.
Right, because in Saudi Arabia it's a crime to mingle and take photographs with women you're not related to.
Okay.
It's unclear what his punishment will be. but he's not allowed to leave the country until the investigation into his criminal behavior, in quotes, is complete.
That's happening in the world today,
right?
2015, right?
It's madness.
It is madness.
So bad for that guy. All right. Hey, I just got an email here by from one of our listeners. Wants to know, do Allie and Chip have a bet on the game tonight? Do we know if there's a wager? Is there anything happening?
They don't really have a bet.
Why so? Because of Allie. Chip's pointing at Allie. Allie, you're not a believer? You're scared?
It has nothing to do with that.
She's scared of the dolphins. She really is.
No.
You heard Dan the Man Campbell there, and you got all
the actual game. I have a lot of issues with people that take sports super seriously and get trolly and out of their minds, and I discuss that a lot on Twitter. I don't need it, don't want it, so betting is a part of that. Not into it.
But it's Chip. It's your little friend Chip.
Although, Ralph, in a couple weeks, Eagles-Dolphins.
I know, Eagles-Dolphins coming up. Yeah, trust me, you and I, there's going to be some betting going on there.
But, Ellie, you know you can bet and have it not be serious. It can just be for fun, right?
Well, I said, we bet, like a week ago, I said, let's bet a dollar. And then
you're the worst sports bettor
ever.
Okay,
then what did I say off the air? I will pay for a car wash.
Right.
And you will have to wear my free Brady shirt and eat my Gronk flakes.
I say jerseys. You'll wear the Dolphins jersey again.
I've already worn your jersey. I don't want to again.
You can wear it again.
Nope.
Come on.
Car wash and jersey hat.
So to the listener who asks, it does not sound like there is an agreed upon bet this time around because somebody's no fun. Yeah.
I bet a dollar. I mean, that's a freaking dollar. You
bet a whole dollar?
I don't make your kind of money, Ralph.
Yeah, right.
Bean.
How do you think I got so rich? Bet more than a dollar on football games.
97%.
I got the 97% mug school on my side. All right, let's take a look. Real quick, once again, heads up. I just found out that tickets for the Hollywood Babylon show in Irvine, California tomorrow night at the Improv are selling very briskly.
Mm.
So if you're interested in coming out and seeing us tomorrow night, you might want to get on that. We're doing our special Halloween theme Hollywood Babylon, or Hollywood Boobalon, as I alone like to call it. Doing the show at the Improv at the Irvine Improv tomorrow night. Go to improv.com. Click on Irvine for tickets and information.
18, I don't know. Maybe.
18 years of age. Hey, I got a maybe.
You got a maybe. All right.
I'm starting. See, I'm starting to wear them away.
I'm not sure what that means.
It means you might show up, Bill.
I don't know what you mean by that.
It means you may come to the show tomorrow night, right?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, see, you didn't hear the question.
We were talking about Hollywood Babylon, the Irvine Improv.
Yeah? He sounds very confused. I'm sorry. Yeah.
But he doesn't think I'd ask that of Tom Petty.
I don't know. Maybe.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Tove Lo is 28 years old today. Ben Foster, the actor, is 35. Gabrielle Union. She's lovely. She's 43 years old. Winona Ryder turns 44. Dan Castellaneta of The Simpsons turns 58. And actor Richard Dreyfuss, legendary actor Richard Dreyfuss, 68 years old today. Yeah, I'm such a fan of his work. Because, you know, it's what the arts are all about, really, is what Richard Dreyfuss does. Don't you feel that as well?
I do. Would you like to hear? We've kind of have gone through all of the Richard Dreyfuss clips.
I know, that was an hour ago. I thought it was worth repeating because Beer Mug really sort of...
The way he summarized.
Encapsulated it perfectly.
Okay. That was beautiful.
Well, Richard, thank you for your time. You are truly one of my... inspirations. I'm not an actor, but comedic-wise, like, I mean, you take serious roles, comedic roles, but, I mean, that's the arts right there, you know, laughter, sad, cry, everything. And Mr. Dreyfuss, thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Dreyfuss, and happy birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You can't tell it from that interview, but Mr. Dreyfuss was sitting there.
He was in the room, believe it or not.
Sitting across from Muggs.
I think he was laughing, he was sad, and he was crying
while
talking to Beer Mug.
Tomorrow morning, a brand new Kevin and Bean show. We got the movie beat. We have RJ Bell from Las Vegas talking about
the NFL. RJ Bell.
We have our friend David Koechner on the program tomorrow. And we've got Danny Elfman at the Hollywood Bowl, front row and a meet and greet.
Stop it.
Tomorrow morning on an all new Kevin and Bean.